Big Brother, mainstream media, government cover-ups. You want answers? Well, so does he. He's Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network. And now, live from Austin, Texas, Alex Jones.
Hard to believe it is already the 22nd day of December 2008. I did not do my Sunday show live yesterday. That was not because of any desire. I had to not do it. I had some horrid stomach virus that kept me down from Saturday into this morning, but I am about 90% back to normal for today, so I am here, ladies and gentlemen. But I tell you, when you really get sick and get a high fever, it's almost cleansing. I woke up this morning after being sick for a day and a half and just saw the world so much clearer. It was kind of like a reset when a computer is not working as fast or smoothly as it should be, and you turn it off and turn it back on. That's kind of how I feel today. So, a purifying experience. I am back live, and I am glad that you were tuned in to the broadcast today. A lot of important news I want to cover today. Dick Cheney did a Fox News interview this weekend and said that that the president isn't above the law. He said the president is the law. Judge Dredd, judge, jury, executioner, supreme ruler, the Fuhrer precept, the Fuhrer system. And then he chastised Biden in the controlled left-right paradigm, saying Biden is supposedly a constitutional lawyer. He should know that Article 1 of the Constitution doesn't apply to me. And the news nationwide is now announcing dutifully that, yes, the vice president is above all laws. Now, that made me think back to a couple years ago. It's in my film Terror Storm. General Hayden, then head of the NSA, who got caught lying about spying on the American people without warrants, little effeminate demon. Then he went out at the National Press Club and said, listen, the Fourth Amendment does not say that we can't spy on you without warrants. It just says we have to be reasonable about it. So a constitutional lawyer gets up and says, no, the Fourth Amendment, as if you need to be a constitutional lawyer to do this, he steps up and says, you have to have probable cause, oath or affirmation. So not just probable cause, not just probable cause you claim, you've got to have witnesses, an oath or affirmation. And these people can't do this secretly. They, you know, the person that you arrest with this knowledge, or that you spy on with this knowledge, or that you raid with this knowledge, you have to be able to put them in front of the person that they've accused. Face your accuser. And he says, no, it does not say probable cause. It says reasonable. And he just kept repeating it. He said it like four times in a row. And then the exchanges intensified with the press. And he said, no, the Fourth Amendment does not say probable cause. Doesn't matter if it does. Doesn't matter if it clearly says that they have to have the evidence. They have to see the dress hanging out the back of the trunk. Or they have to smell the marijuana. Or they have to see the guys running out of the bank with a black mask on and think, well, you know, that probable cause. I thought that was the bank robber, so I pulled out my sidearm and told them to hit the ground, or I was going to open fire on them, hands up, and they didn't, so I filled them full of lead. Well, they'd say, well, that's due process. That's probable cause. I mean, that's – but no, they're just saying, look, we'll just spy on all of you randomly with no warrants. That's probable cause. So we're going to go over Cheney and Hayden today. But again, Biden and Obama are now saying they're not going to prosecute anybody in the Bush administration. They're not going to go after anybody. But turnabout's fair play. I mean, it was George Bush who left Bill Clinton alone. Remember that and Pardongate and the rest of it? We'll talk about that, the economy, a lot of big developments around the world. Stay with us. We'll be right back.
From his Central Texas Command Center, deep behind enemy lines, the information war continues. It's Alex Jones and the GCN Radio Network.
We are live, ladies and gentlemen. We're going to be here for the next 3 hours and 52 minutes. It is the 22nd of December, 2008. Coming up in the third hour today, we have Peter Schiff, who manages a multi-million dollar fund and is Ron Paul's chief financial advisor, who's become quite popular making the rounds on the financial news channels. He'll be joining us to give us his forecast on what's coming up, not just in some five-minute soundbite, but in the lengthy interview coming up today. It also looks like Mr. Engdahl is going to be on with us as well, so stay with us for that. I also want to hear from the listeners and open the phones up in the first hour, second hour, third hour, fourth hour today on any issue you wish to discuss. 1-800-259-9231. 1-800-259-9231. Is the internet going down? Undersea sub cables have just broken. The London Times reported Saturday, three of the four, thousands of miles apart from each other, were suddenly cut. And of course, you remember last year around the Middle East, the majority of the cables were also cut there in the Mediterranean and also in some of the other waterways around that area. En route, the internet networks company reports that three of their four internet sub cables that run from Asia to North America have been damaged. These carry more than 75% of the traffic between the Middle East, Europe, and America. It's hard to gather what this actually means. It is that the internet is down, more likely significantly slower than usual between the Middle East and the United States. Interesting story there. Here is another one, and this doesn't just deal with national DNA databases all over the Western world for 35 years. It also deals with the fact of just how ruthless and criminal the government is. And again, it's not the government. The private corporations that masquerade as government that use it as a strip mining tool to rob and loot the public and dumb the public down further. In April of 2008, President Bush signed into law S-1858, which allows the federal government to screen the DNA of all newborn babies in the U.S. This was to be implemented within 6 months, meaning this collection is now being carried out. Congressman Ron Paul states that this bill is the first step towards the establishment of a national DNA database. Let's just stop right there. We have a link to this natural news story up on Infowars.com and PrisonPlanet.com. I learned 15 years ago, back when I didn't know much, that at birth, if you were born in New Zealand, Australia, Canada, the UK, the US, and a few other countries, Commonwealth nations, the US is really still a Commonwealth, for all intents and purposes, same program, same federal government style, same system, owned by the same people, certainly. And again, I just discovered over time that we have all the same laws in the same order under the same names. So I call us Commonwealth because we're the only non-Commonwealth nation that behaves just like the Commonwealths. Those being under Queen of England, Elizabeth II. Number two. But you know, I learned about this 15 years ago, that if you were 20 years or younger, you had been in a DNA database. I learned that Parkland Hospital, when I was born in 1974, took blood and put me in a national DNA database. You know, now it's 35 years. If you were born 73 forward in Australia, the UK, Canada, the US, New Zealand, your blood was taken and it was put in an international DNA database, and it was used of the government's claim that they own your blood. They can patent different proteins or different DNA factors that are in there. And the reason this is now making mainstream news is these companies come back to people decades later when they're having some DNA treatment done with their own body. And they go, oh, did you know this company actually owns your blood? Yeah, they bought the samples at birth. And now to be able to have this gene therapy, you've got to pay them for the right to use your own bone marrow. And they can also then specifically make a race-specific bioweapon just for you or just for your family. And it helps them with race-specific bioweapons to know how to create systems that will attack only certain groups or be more predisposed to attack certain groups. But all of this aside, I went on air 13 years ago and warned people and read federal international documents on air. And then, I don't know, about 10 years ago, I had a state rep on from Michigan. And then I had, I remember, about 7, 8 years ago, a congressman on from South Carolina about it. And we told everybody, we said, they're taking your blood at birth and they're putting it in a DNA database. And people would email me and call me and laugh at me and say, you're a crazy person. That wasn't a real congressman. And this isn't a police state. And they're not secretly taking our blood for DNA databases. And I said, now, the last 5 years, the University of Texas runs the system for the federal government in the U.S. They're the main holder of it down at San Antonio. They have another big one in Michigan, one in California. But the point is, the main center is here in Texas. And now, because they were getting sued over it, they just trick the mother at birth. They say, oh, just sign this form. We're testing your baby for blood diseases. Why would you need to sign a form? I mean, we know they're lying. That's not up for debate. The point is, why would you need to sign a form to check for blood diseases when they don't have you sign any other forms to check for problems? They're not checking for blood diseases. It's the reason they take 3 ampules of blood. One goes to the state health department, one goes to the feds, and then they sell the other one. And they get big money for it. Okay? Now, this is the tyranny. Now, they've been busy advertising to everybody. They've been busy advertising that DNA is 100% and why a third of the people on death row are innocent. And I have no doubt that's true. But they're only legitimizing DNA as 100% because they've got half the country. I would guess half the country is under 35. Average life expectancy is, what, 74 for a male. So let's say a little bit under half the country. They've got your blood. They've got large amounts of it. They vampirically suck multiple ampules. And they can frame you with this. And they've been caught framing people with their fingerprints. Yes, fingerprints, easy to frame somebody. They just lift your prints, and then they go place them at the scene. Well, now they thumb scan you to buy and sell, and thumb scan you to get in the mall, and thumb scan you to go to the library, thumb scan you to do all this. So, of course, you know, they've got your fingers, they've got your index finger, they've got your thumb. They've got your digital face photo so they can track you everywhere you go with their Pentagon face scanning cameras. And all of this is being done so the bankers can carry out their criminal activities, their dehumanization, their enslavement of the people, without us ever being able to challenge them. All right, I said I'd get into all the news. I've only covered 2 articles here. World faces total financial meltdown, Bank of Spain chief. We have the Prime Minister of Canada last week saying that. We have Biden coming out saying things are far worse than he thought. Depression. They're all doing this to destroy remaining confidence so that there will be a world depression. Of course, we told you they do that. The governor of the Bank of Spain on Sunday issued a bleak assessment of the economic crisis, warning that the world faced a total financial meltdown unseen since the Great Depression. The lack of confidence is total, Miguel Angel Fernandez said in an interview with Spain's El Paris Daily. The interbank lending market is not functioning, and this is getting vicious cycles. Consumers are not consuming. Businesses are not taking on workers. Investors are not investing, and the banks are not lending. He goes on to say if it's not restored, that we'll have a depression by 2010, basically. He said this is the worst financial crisis since the Great Depression of 1929, he said. He said the European Central Bank, of which he is a governing council member, would cut interest rates in January if inflation expectations went much lower to below 2%. If, among other variables, we observe that inflation expectations go much below 2%, it's illogical that we will lower rates. Regarding the dire situation in the United States, he said he backed the decision by the U.S. Federal Reserve to cut rates to zero in the face of a profound deflation fears. Of course, you don't get low interest rates, though. You have a depression in the real economy, not in the banking system. They have stolen tens of trillions worldwide. We haven't gotten new numbers in two-plus weeks. Last time we checked, it was $8.5 trillion that they've stolen just in the United States. Look at this headline. Did Bernard Madoff act alone? Investors doubt it. Did he act alone? Did he steal between 50 and 100 plus billion dollars? No one knows. With all these banks and brokerage firms admittedly working with him, that's admitted. Oh, yes, he created all the fake books and sent out all the fake statements and did all of this, sure. And the SEC never investigated him, even though people blew the whistle over and over again. This guy was the bag man for a bunch of other banks to use him as a Ponzi scheme front. And they decided to go ahead and blow the whistle on him so his sons could walk. That's all that happened.
I wish a buck was still silver. It was back when the country was strong.
You know, we didn't have an IRS
back before
until years after they set up the private Federal Reserve in 1913.
Vietnam War came along.
But when they passed the Federal Reserve Act,
before the Beatles and yesterday,
they also gave us the income tax.
When a man could still work, still would.
They had to have a constitutional amendment to do that.
Best of the free life.
That's right. We built this country without an income tax. Did you know 100% of the income taxes you pay goes directly to the private Federal Reserve? Did you know you write your tax payment check to the Federal Reserve? And they're an offshore bank with people like Madoff running it. And they take that money and they come back and they buy up our media. They come in, they buy up our culture. They strip mine our country. They hand it over to foreign interests. That's what you get for it. And then with the income tax, they write the code where it's impossible to, you know, pay them correctly or do it right because there is no right answer. So the penalties and interest, let's say you don't pay $100. A few years later, they come back and want $10,000. Or you don't pay $1,000, they want $100,000. It's mafia. Tax rate in this country is really about 60%. See, only criminals would come up with something like that. A tax, you can't figure out how to pay it right. A tax that will destroy small businesses. A tax that nobody can figure out. Fair taxes are ones on trade and commerce and buying and selling. Because you pay it one time, it's even, it's fair, it's there. But see, people are going, well, let's have a fair tax then. Sorry, they're going to give you a national sales tax, which is going to be international, on top of the income tax. They're going to keep both of them. And these evil people have found a way to pervert a fair tax. They're going to use that to track and trace everything you buy, sell, and do with your national ID card. Because it's going to be graduated, a graduated sales tax. So the poor don't have to pay it. But really, that's everything you do can be tracked and traced. And then, hey, you bought too much stuff. It shows your income's $25,000 a year. But it shows you bought $30,000 worth of things this year. So you're going to have to report everything you sell on eBay. You have to report all the yards you mow. You'll have to report that old junker you sold. You'll have to report that diamond ring you sold after grandma died. This is a system of total regulation, total control that is coming into place over the nation and the world. Imagine criminals who want to be secure in the thought that no one can resist them, no one can stop them, that no one is independent on a farm or a ranch, that no one is independent medically, that everybody is under their control. That's what we're dealing with as a society. It's just horrible what they're constructing. And if you like tens of trillions stolen from taxpayers worldwide, $8.5 trillion, just 8 weeks into the banker takeover, you've seen nothing yet. I mean, if you're enjoying what you've seen so far, get ready. Because they want to create the depression so they can pose as your savior and give you national ID cards, government paychecks, where everything you do is under their control. Because the criminals want to make you be dependent on them. They want to make you basically be their slaves, be their servants. When we come back, I am going to get into Dick Cheney saying that not just the president, but the president is above the law. And he's telling Biden and Obama, be sure and use all these new powers. And he goes on to say, hey, the president and the vice president have the nuclear launch codes. We can destroy the planet. I mean, that's quite a statement. He's stating, hey, we are dictators of the planet by force de jure. It's just a done deal. We are the military-industrial complex. We can burn the planet to a crisp in 5 minutes if we want to. And so to say that the president isn't the law, to say the president isn't above the law, is asinine. And really, Dick Cheney is being an absolutist. He's being honest with you. He's saying, look, we got the nukes. We'll use them on you. Remember back when they were investigating 9/11, and he said on Meet the Press about 7 years ago, he said, look, there better not be any investigations of 9/11, or you're going to see nukes go off. Is that clear? And that was a public threat. I will nuke you. We're going to come back and cover this. Stay with us.
He blew his mind out
in a car. He didn't notice that the lights had changed. A crowd of people stood and stared.
People will fight, they will cheat, they will steal.
His face before,
they will kill.
Nobody was really sure if he was from the House of Lords.
For power. And most of them, when they get the power, are completely unhappy. You see a lot of conversions at that point. Worldly corrupt people will have a Scroogean conversion and will become true humanitarians and try to help their fellow man. And that's always beautiful when that happens. But there's another type of elitist who truly thrives off of power and off all the signets and marks of rank, and who just enjoys exercising raw power over populations. And that's who we're talking about today, and I'm going to get more into that in one moment, and then your phone calls at 1-800-259-9231. William Engdahl, a historian, joins us coming up. Talk about the current state of the economy and the New World Order, the whole eugenics agenda. That is coming up in about 35 minutes or a little bit less. Then we have Peter Schiff joining us. And then Bill Veal, attorney for April Gallup, will be joining us coming up in the last hour today. She, of course, survivor of the Pentagon attack, right where the object came in, right where the explosives went off. And, well, we'll tell you all about the lawsuit and what it's alleging, what it's saying. In this exclusive, this is the first time. The lawsuit's public, but this is the first interview that I know of with Mr. Veal since this has been filed. We may even have Gallup on with us as well today. I sound a bit slow today. I got over the stomach bug. I'm actually still not completely over it, but I am here nevertheless. Okay. Finishing up with Dick Cheney and the nature of power. Let's go ahead and play the clip of Dick Cheney. This is from Fox News Sunday, saying that he is the law, that the president and the vice president are the law, and that they have the thermonuclear weapons and that that's absolute power. John, do you have that clip? Yeah, let's go ahead and roll that.
So this is at the core of the controversies that I want to get to with you in a moment. If the president during war decides to do something to protect the country, is it legal?
In general proposition, I'd say yes. You need to be more specific than that. I mean, but clearly, when you take the oath of office on January 20th of 2001, as we did, and you take the oath to support and defend and protect the Constitution of the United States against all enemies, foreign and domestic, there's no question about what your responsibilities are in that regard. And again, I think that there are bound to be debates and arguments from time to time and wrestling back and forth about what kind of authority is appropriate in any specific circumstance. But I think that what we've done has been totally consistent with what the Constitution provides for. The President of the United States now for 50 years is followed at all times, 24 hours a day, by a military aide carrying a football that contains the nuclear codes that he would use and be authorized to use in the event of a nuclear attack on the United States. He could launch a kind of a devastating attack the world's never seen. He doesn't have to check with anybody. He doesn't have to call the Congress. He doesn't have to check with the courts. He has that authority because of the nature of the world we live in.
So
it's
what?
Unfortunate, but I think we're perfectly appropriate to take the steps we've had.
All right. Now, again, national security dictatorship set up in 1947. The private offshore corporations completely take over the country at that time. They've now been using it as an engine for global domination ever since. And Cheney rightfully says, look, the president can destroy the earth. So physically, he is dictator of the planet. Now, it doesn't mean it's legitimate, doesn't mean it's constitutional, doesn't mean it's any of those things. And that's why the White House says they can torture children in front of their parents. That's why they say they can bury people alive and pull their fingernails out with pliers in their memos. That's why whenever John Yoo was, you know, asked at a Council on Foreign Relations meeting in Chicago, can you torture children with pliers? Can you crush their testicles? He said yes. Because, you know, if you can destroy the earth, and I guess saying nobody can stop me, then why can't you torture children? And why can't you steal $8.5 trillion and growing by a trillion every week? Why can't you just go ahead and take it offshore and tell Congress, hey, you have no authority to see where the money went? Why can't you go ahead and take people's DNA at birth for 35 years and put it in a secret DNA database, and then when people find out about it, start bitching and complaining, have President Bush just sign a bill making it law retroactively? Oh, we caught the president murdering a bunch of people. He likes to go out and then one of the D.C. parks at night and find young women and strangle them. Well, we'll just pay. How long has he been strangling women? Oh, 6 years. We'll just pass a retroactive law that he can strangle women. Oh, we found out they've been spying on the American people for political control. Nothing to do with terrorism for years. What do we do? Oh, we just pass a law retroactively saying they can do it. And by the way, if you don't like it, we got nukes. What did the British Ministry of Defense report say last year? What did the U.S. government report say this year? Their future trends. They said the militaries of the West work for the private institutions that are globalist, that are going to destroy the middle class of the West. The middle class is going to riot. They're going to try to legitimately take control of the government. The military works for the private offshore banks. We may have to use neutron bombs on them. Just governments will probably use. I mean, they're saying governments are probably going to use. They're saying they believe it's going to happen. Neutron bombs will be used on us. See, the nukes are for us, folks, just like they're for an Afghani or a Nigerian or a Venezuelan or a Pitcairn Islander. It doesn't matter. The nukes are for us. And the giant arsenal of neutron bombs are just radiation bombs. They leave no residue, kill all life forms, the buildings, the computers, the water treatment plants, the infrastructure, it's all still there. That's what they have in place. And they're so psychopathic and so wild. I have no doubt that if the UN says they want 80% of us dead by a certain date, if they can't do it through the food and the water and eugenics, they may just start, you know, I mean, with a small fleet of robotic aircraft, and they're converting the entire Air Force, other than troop carriers, over robotic. They can have robotic centers, and they admit they've built these, which robotically load the neutron weapons on board the drone bombers, and they could put them in the air over every major capital. And, of course, each nation would do this to itself. They would neutron their own population. Now, you'll notice that if they plan to do that, folks, I'm not kidding. This is a probable scenario. I've really been studying them deeply and what they're into, and I'm telling you, that's why they don't care. That's why they'll steal any amount of money from you. None of it even means anything to these people now. It's about the exercise of power. They're nihilist. And then they'll just hit every major city, and then the next wave of drones will hit the smaller cities, and the next wave of drones will hit the medium-sized cities, and so down to the smaller cities. And then none of this is going to matter anymore. The Pentagon, the military, is run by psychopathic eugenicists that created Stalin, Hitler, Mao, Lenin, all of them. And so when you get Dick Cheney running around saying, look, of course the president is above the law and above the Congress, and he went further to attack Biden and to say, well, you know, it's just incredible. He went on to attack Biden and them and saying, look, they better want to use all these incredible powers we've expanded. It's for America's safety. Besides, Biden should know that, you know, the Constitution only limits the legislative, not the executive. And that's similar to the asinine statement made by Hayden over and over again. But in particular, the one that got the most attention was at the National Press Club 2 years ago, where he said, look, we are above the law, basically. He said, we can spy on whoever we want as long as we say it's reasonable. And the constitutional law expert gets up and says, no, you got to have probable cause and oath or affirmation. And he says, no, we don't. That's not in there. No, it doesn't say that. Now, see, that's total disdain by Hayden. It's total disdain by Cheney. They're just saying, we don't care what you say, what you do. We'll do whatever we want. Here is Hayden. I think today we're having a computer problem loading these. John, are you there? Are you hearing me when I'm saying play these clips? The Hayden clip. No, the first one.
My understanding is that the Fourth Amendment of the Constitution specifies that you must have probable cause to be able to do a search that does not violate an American's right against unlawful searches and searches and seizures.
Fourth Amendment actually protects all of us against unreasonable search and seizure.
The measure is probable cause, I believe.
The amendment says unreasonable search and seizure.
But does it not say probable? The legal standard is probable cause.
Just to be very clear, okay, and believe me, if there's any amendment to the Constitution that employees of the National Security Agency are familiar with, it's the Fourth, right? And it is a reasonableness standard in the Fourth Amendment.
To quote the Fourth Amendment to the Constitution of the United States in its entirety, the one the General and the NSA folks are so familiar with and know is about reasonableness and not about probable cause, quote, "The right of the people to be secure in their persons, houses, papers, and effects against unreasonable searches and seizures shall not be violated, no warrant shall issue, but upon probable cause, supported by oath or affirmation, and particularly describing the place to be searched and the persons or things to be seized." Well, maybe they have a different constitution over there at the NSA.
So there you have it, and I've got a bunch of other clips. It's the same thing. They have disdain for the public. Now, how did they get the power to have us under basically martial law and where the president can nuke the whole earth if he feels like it? Well, that isn't actually what the law says. And that's why under PDD 51, President Bush says under an emergency, Congress has no authority. And by the way, it doesn't take us being under nuke attack. Any financial, any environmental, or any disaster I choose, the Congress is dissolved permanently at my pleasure. Cannot review what I'm saying, and the governors are dissolved, and the military is under my control, and then now they're dissolving the governor's power over the military, they're getting rid of the National Guard, they're telling his troops are going on the streets, and all of this will be continued, and he's announced he's going to radically expand it by Barack Obama and Biden. Joe Biden and Barack Obama. So we're going into very dangerous times here, ladies and gentlemen. Now, who was somebody back in World War II that found out that the U.S. was planning to give the nukes to Russia? Who was somebody that found out that 12,000 U.S. soldiers had been picked up in a area of eastern Germany by the Soviets when they came through, and the Soviets took those American soldiers, this is on record, mainline history, 12,000, took U.S. soldiers held by Nazis. There was U.S. soldiers held by Nazis, held by the Germans, in East Germany. The Russians come through, they grab them. And the Russians wanted to use them for slave labor and gulags and to interrogate them about the U.S. Army system and the Air Force, well, then the Army Air Corps. And Patton complained, so they killed him. Now, we've always told you this and had guests on. Now the documents have been declassified, diaries have been declassified, and the writer of the book, the London Telegraph, says they're convinced that, yes, Patton was killed. Now, this is an aide to the Queen, and, you know, this it goes through the whole article, why they killed Patton, how they killed him. You know, Americans are told that an ox cart hit him. That's not true. They rammed him with a truck and dumped him over and then jumped up in the truck and shot him in the throat in front of everybody with a low-velocity bullet to break his neck, but so it wouldn't look like a bullet wound. He still lived, so they sent in the NKVD to kill him under Wild Bill Donovan's orders, the OSS. You can go read that. But, I mean, you know, don't give me it's a patriotic military and a patriotic government. I mean, Patton was a mad dog killer when he was fighting another enemy. But the point is that, you know, the greatest U.S. general in World War II, and they just killed him. He said, look, I, the media says, oh, he hated the Russians. Well, you can read his writings and his letters home, and he was promising to go home and go to Congress. He got freaked out when he said, why is our government giving 12,000 U.S. soldiers to the Russians? Why are we giving the Russians all the German scientists? Why are we being friends with them? They are going to go at us. They're going to, because he didn't understand the bigger picture. They were meant to be given the nukes. They were meant to be empowered. But General George S. Patton was assassinated to silence his criticism of Allied war leaders. London Telegraph headline. George S. Patton, America's greatest combat general of World War II, was assassinated after the conflict with the connivance of U.S. leaders. The newly unearthed diaries and colorful assassin, who they also interviewed before he died, with the wartime Office of Strategic Services, the forerunner of the CIA, revealed that American spy chiefs wanted Patton dead because he was threatened to expose Allied collusion with Russians at the cost of American lives. And then it mentions in here the dealing with U.S. prisoners. Yeah, 12,000 U.S. troops. He said, what? We're not going to save them? All right, I'm going to go to Ben, Robert, George, and a few other callers here. Got William Engdahl joining us today after. Then Peter Schiff, then Bill Veal, attorney for April Gallup. Just remember that, all of you that serve the government and think it's a government. It's not. It's a group of predatory, backstabbing thieves with no honor. Patton wouldn't leave 12,000 U.S. soldiers who'd been captured by the Russians out of German POW camps. He wouldn't... By the way, the classic disinfo operatives are even in this article we posted on Infowars.com trying to criticize the article. Like, it talks about the assassin and somebody he worked for who was later on the 9/11 commission, and the disinfo operative goes into the comments and says, look, they're saying this guy, the assassin, died in 99, but that he was in the 9/11 commission. It doesn't say that. It says he worked for somebody who later was in the 9/11 commission. So see, even the government operatives are on the site, even happy that they killed Patton. See, it's part of a victory against honor, a victory against goodness. It's just reveling. You know, that's why they post these videos online of them shooting whole families in Iraq and then laughing. See, that's what's dangerous about the military mindset, ladies and gentlemen. Because, you know, you firebomb Dresden and kill 500,000 people in one night. You bomb Hiroshima and Nagasaki and kill over 1 million. Eh, what does it matter to kill 3,000 on 9/11 to get your agenda through? Eh, what does it matter to break a few eggs? Yeah, you know, the president can nuke the whole earth, so he's above the law. All hail the president. And I've been around military commanders. They just grovel and, like, sexually get excited about the football and the nuke codes. They're, you know, they're into just the power of it. Yeah, destroying our planet, destroying our future, destroying our children's future. It's just a very sick group of ruthless people that are in control. And you've got a sick population that thinks it's cute and says, yeah, turn the Middle East into a parking lot, kill all the Muslims. What you don't know is that the same elite doesn't care about you either, Bubba. And when Patton said, hey, you know what? I'm not going to sit down and shut up while the Russians take 12,000 of our troops and work them to death and torture them. And they said, you know what? Then die, Patton, die. And you can read his correspondence. You know, it's like, well, they say it's just the military and people die. And we don't want to upset the Russians. See, once you don't care about Iraqis, well, you don't care about your own people. See how that works, folks? They don't work for us. They work for themselves. And they all kill each other either as well. Oh, man, we're in trouble. All right, I'm going to get more into that later. Let's talk to Ben in Canada and then Robert and others. Go ahead, Ben.
Hey, Alex, it's good to talk to you.
Good to talk to you.
I was watching Bloomberg today, and I watched Fred Goodwin today, and he was pretty much foaming at the mouth. It made me made my blood boil enough that I had to give you a call. What I wanted to talk to you about was the Star reported that Canada will now be shareholders of General Motors and Chrysler. Did you hear about that?
Yeah, well, everything's foreign-owned now. That's what globalism is. Nothing can be American-owned. They set up deals where basically only foreign countries and foreign institutions can control us. That's globalism. It's about conquering us financially.
Okay.
Of course, Cheney's answer would be, hey, we got the football. We can nuke it all. Don't even discuss what we do. Just go along with whatever we say and be glad if we let you live.
Well, I'm telling you right now, I've been unemployed for the last few months, and I can't find work, and it's pretty much at the end here in Canada, I say.
Well, you're just going to have to get a government-funded job, and that'll be probably spying on your neighbors. And if you won't take the job, then you'll be one of the people that the neighbors report on that they put in a gulag, and then you'll work 12 months out of the year, 18 hours a day, slaving with a big fat guy in a black uniform standing over you with a submachine gun. Hey, but so what? You know, that's the way it is. Government's God.
Big Brother. Mainstream media. Government cover-ups. You want answers? Well, so does he. He's Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network. And now, live from Austin, Texas, Alex Jones.
I was going to go back to Ben in Canada talking about being unemployed for months and how much trouble he's in. No, I hear you, and it's horrible. But Ben hung up. It's very, very serious. But it's designed that way to domesticate us, to get us under their control. Let's go ahead and talk to Robert in Colorado. Robert, you're on the air. Welcome.
Hey, good morning. Thanks for taking my call, Alex. A couple of things. Number one, you were asking the question earlier about who was the guy that found out about the U.S. giving secrets to the Russians during World War II. Were you alluding to Major Jordan's diaries?
Well, I was mentioning, I was talking about Patton.
Oh, okay.
You mean I did that whole 10-minute spiel? I'm not a good communicator, I guess. And you didn't know I was talking about a murdering Patton?
Well, yeah, you did say that, but what clicked into my brain was Major Jordan's diaries, which was along the same lines. He was a guy who found out basically the same thing, that we were giving the secrets to the Russians and so on and so forth. So that's what made me think of that. No, you said Patton, so I guess that's my mistake. The other thing is that, Alex, back during the 2005 Hurricane Katrina in New Orleans, you were on the police pretty hard about they should be fired for leaving their posts and so forth. Since then, when I hear you mention that, you've kind of softened your stance. Have you found out something different about what happened there? Or what
well, yeah, I mean, we
that?
Didn't know for 3 days that FEMA jammed all the cell phones and went in and physically cut all the police radio towers, physically with fire axes. And so within 3 or 4 days after, I mean, at first when it said that they walked off their post, I said, how dare them? We didn't know that the feds had come in and cut their communications. So I reversed myself immediately at that point.
That makes sense. Okay, keep up the good work.
Thank you. I appreciate your call. It's kind of like the first 2 hours of the NATO sneak attack on South Ossetia against the Russians. CNN was announcing the Russians had snuck attack, and I'm not even prepared to deal with lies of that level. So I thought, my God, this is incredible. CNN's reporting the Russians have snuck attack. And then a couple hours later, I went and read the foreign news and then even, you know, read addendums on CNN. And they're like, well, actually, after Georgia attacked South Ossetia. So I had to reverse myself. I mean, and, you know, much can be made of these things. But, I mean, I routinely get things wrong. And then we go back and you know, correct that. A lot is taken out of context as well. It's like on Y2K, ABC News announces a missile has been fired from Russia at the United States. And all the phones start ringing. Everybody's calling the show about it. And I say, that's not true. So I run out during the break, turn on ABC News, and they're announcing it. I go back on air and I say, yeah, it's happening. And then about 10 minutes later, we said, no, from NORAD, it was just a Scud missile. And I said, that was weird because they had the Russians with them at NORAD. And the Russians and the U.S. had a weird press conference after. So that was some psyop. Well, what did COINTELPRO do? They claimed I put out the story about the missile when it had been on ABC News and callers of the show. It'd be like if a caller called in and said, I just heard a missile was fired from Russia. And I go, okay, let me check. Yeah, they say that's true. We don't know if this is true. And then the government takes that, edits it, and says that I said Russia, just out of nowhere, I just came on air and announced that a missile had been fired from Russia. So that's the kind of deception that we deal with. Jim, Troy, Maggie, Eric, we're going to get to all of you with our guest, F. William Engdahl, that's coming up after the break. some of the other news I have. Later in the show, if I have time, I'm going to read this in its entirety. General George S. Patton was assassinated to silence his criticism of Allied war leaders. London Telegraph. Another one here, robots ready to run the world. I want to get to that out of Russia Today. More on the bill nobody noticed, National DNA Data Bank, now law. And a lot more coming up today. We'll also get more into Bernard Madoff, the front man for a larger Ponzi swindle. Stay with us.
He's the T-Rex of political talk. Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network.
She survived the Pentagon strike. She's now filed suit against Bush and Cheney for carrying out the 9/11 attacks and endangering her life and that of her child. Her lawyer joins us coming up in about 2 hours from now. In the next hour, we got Peter Schiff on with us, top financial strategist and advisor, Ron Paul's chief financial advisor, making the rounds on national TV quite a bit these days. We'll get his take on where things are going. Before we go to our first guest of the day, and yes, your phone calls in this hour, we're going to be talking about full spectrum dominance with our guest, F. William Engdahl. But before we do that, I do want to encourage all of our listeners out there to remember that just because those of us that listen to this show or that are informed about the New World Order and how the world really operates, just because we know what's going on doesn't mean our neighbors, our friends, our family do. And you may have tried to wake them up a year ago, 2 years ago, whatever, and they weren't listening. Now people are more apt to listen. And even if they don't listen now, they will remember what you said today, a year from now, 2 years from now, 3 years from now. And that's the reason this radio show is just exploding exponentially. My books, the films, the materials, is because everything we talked about has come true. Everything we've discussed has unfolded. Unfortunately, I wish we were wrong. So I do want to encourage everybody to get a PrisonPlanet.tv membership today. PrisonPlanet.tv is $5.95 a month. You can sign up for a monthly trial membership or get a year until Christmas, just a few days left, and you can get 5+ months free. So you pay for 6.7 months of your membership. You get 5.3 months if you want to get technical. So 5+ months free at PrisonPlanet.tv. And up to 6 people can use the same passcode. So buy yourself a PrisonPlanet.tv membership and then give it to a few of your friends and family. Just explain to them that they can't share their passcode with anybody else or it will cease to work. Now, that doesn't mean it'll cease to work forever. It'll just time out. And then if all 6 of you are trying to log on at the same time, it won't work. So, again, our goal here is to get the word out to people on the subject of GMOs, deadly vaccines, militarization of the police, the banker takeover. I mean, there are thousands of audio interviews. Got to be close to 1,000 video interviews. When I make films, I'll take everything that's on the cutting room floor, like Endgame 1.5, all the really good stuff that we couldn't put in, an hour and 45 minutes extra, put it up at PrisonPlanet.tv. All my films, my book, Paul Watson's book, in ebook format. His book's out of print. Mine's about to be, so you can get it at PrisonPlanet.tv. Put the videos, put the books on disc, burn them to disc, give them to friends, family, neighbors. Use it as a library in the fight against the New World Order. Believe me, folks, the reason tyranny always tries to crack down on free speech is that free speech hurts tyranny. And that's why they're moving against the web and going with their full spectrum dominance right now, because they know the things they're doing are so unpopular, they're not going to be able to get away with it. That's why Cheney's trying to say, hey, we've got the nukes, we can nuke all of you, we're above the law, we can torture children. They're trying to just set a precedent that the sky's the limit. You know, $8.5 trillion stolen in 8 weeks, and that's 2-week-old numbers. It just keeps growing. I mean, the level of wanton abandon and lawlessness we're seeing, it must be met with resistance. We must speak out against it. So again, PrisonPlanet.tv. If you're not online, you want them in super high quality on DVD. Terror Storm, Endgame, Truth Rising, Fabled Enemies, The Money Masters, They're all available at huge discounts at InfoWars.com on DVD and a bunch of other great books and videos at InfoWars.com, or call toll free 888-253-3139. 888-253-3139. We are now joined by F. William Engdahl. And if I try to describe everything he does, it would take too long. But his research bridges economics, politics, and the less-known field of geopolitics. His work is influenced by numerous economists, but most especially by the German historian economist Frederick List. He has authored the book A Century of War, Anglo-American Oil Politics, and the New World Order. And he's done a lot of other work written for major publications around the world. And he joins us for 5 minutes of the next hour, then Mr. Schiff joins us. I appreciate you coming on. Your new book doesn't come out until January, but we're going to talk about it. Full Spectrum Dominance. Give us the full title, Mr. Engdahl, and then break down what full spectrum dominance or complete technological enslavement system is.
Okay, Alex. Enjoying being with you again. The book, Full Spectrum Dominance, the subtitle, I think, tells it all. It's Totalitarian Democracy in the New World Order. And basically, as I see it, the post-war U.S. Informal empire, if you want to call it that, the post-war U.S. projection of power post-1945 was really based on two fundamental pillars. One was the power of Wall Street and the dollar-based system of then the gold standard and later simply the dollar-based fiat money system after 1971. The role of New York as the financial capital of the world, as it had been with the British Empire a century earlier, was the key element to controlling the world or controlling the dominant trends of world politics in the post-war period. That is now going up in flames with the crisis that we're living through right now. It's going to get horrendously worse. It's the American economy is going to go through pure hell, worse than anything in the 1930s. And that means the second pillar is the only thing that the U.S. elites have left, and that is the military. Military power projection, the Pentagon calls it full spectrum dominance. Now, what do I imply by that? Well, number one, they have to permanently try to take off of the table the potential of the nations of Western Europe, Germany, France, Italy, and so forth, and Russia and China coming together, perhaps with India at some point joining them, and creating an economic trade zone or zone of cooperation, whatever you want to call it, but somewhere where they begin being less dependent on the dollar system and more dependent on protected kind of currency and trade zones that'll keep the real economies going in those places. They have all the natural resources they require for that among them. Russia has the mineral resources. Russia has the world's largest reserves of natural gas. It has pipeline building capacities to China and so forth. And Western Europe has the machine tools, the advanced industry, and that not, but they lack the labor base. They lack the demographic crisis in Germany and so forth. It's beginning to kick in. So if you combine that into a common economic space, that is the one threat that the United States elites, the American century, if you want to call, it simply can't cope with that. Brzezinski has said it repeatedly in his writings. This is the number one threat. The whole Cheney Pentagon agenda since he was defense secretary in 1992 has been about preempting. Preemptive wars are nothing more or less than preempting this kind of cooperation in Eurasia. So the book really is about that agenda and how, unbeknownst to most people, certainly in Europe and in the United States, because our media simply doesn't tell us in detail, and certainly not our politicians, the Pentagon has never stopped the Cold War. It never for one second paused in its move to have total military dominance, cyberspace, outer space, inner space, the oceans, the land, and so forth. And that is the Bush presidency, and now it's being continued into Bush Mach 2, which is called Obama for some reason. The Bush presidency is really about this gearing up this full-spectrum dominance because they realized, I think, back in the 99-2000 period when the dot-com bubble was pumped up and inevitably crashed, that they didn't have many more cards to play on the financial field, and therefore they're going to have to turn to very hard military means. So,
well, doesn't this? Spectrum, I mean, doesn't this take us back to what we saw in the late 40s with the British Commission on Population? They say the Western world, the U.S. and England predominantly, the Anglo-American elite, are threatened by other populations developing their own industrial bases. So we have to go around the world destabilizing nations, getting them to have local theater wars. Mm-hmm. I mean, basically more, you know, great game geopolitical type stuff.
Precisely.
And then they expanded. They said carrying out eugenics. But then domestically, they say we've also got to dumb our own people down. I mean, this is in the documents, that dumbing us down so we're more easily managed, that attacking and starving other nations, playing them off against each other. I mean, this is really the policy. And if you look at it from a cold-blooded military policy of you're the elites, how do you dominate the world?
Divide and conquer. Yeah.
Well, I mean, they might as well have us born without brains. And you know, I hate to give them ideas, but I mean, that's what they're cold-bloodedly doing. So,
yeah.
So this really is the full spectrum dominance, is control freaks on steroids, micromanaging every facet of our lives. I mean, we can't act like the Pentagon is separately over here by itself doing all of this. They work for the big Anglo-American banks, and they're given their marching orders, and that is dominate the American people. Dominate the British people, dominate the people of Europe who don't want to do this. That's basically enslave everybody and then start wars all over the planet to wreck everything. So there's nothing viable but your one unipolar system.
Yeah. Now, that's, in a nutshell, that's what the Full Spectrum book is documenting. And putting it in a context where people can really understand a lot of these things, for example, the Darfur campaign, to take one small example. Suddenly, Hollywood actors start lining up to be the great champions against Sudanese genocide in Darfur, southern Sudan. And nobody tells them that the reason that the Bush administration or Washington is talking about genocide in southern Sudan is because China has built oil pipelines to one of the richest oil potentials in all of Africa in the Darfur region.
All right, stay there. We'll be right back with our guest.
As we've been trodden on the wine press, much too long, rebel, rebel. Babylon system is the vampire. Yeah. Sucking the children day by.
F. William Engdahl is our guest. Got a link to his website up on Infowars.com right now. William, you know, Dick Cheney comes out over the weekend and says, look, of course the president's above Congress and above the law. He can nuke the entire earth if he wants to. So they keep going back to this military power. Last year, the British Ministry of Defense said, you know what? The military really does work for financial interest, and we may have to use neutron bombs on the general public if they try to get out of line or overthrow our government. So within the officer corps, it's even taught now that they work for financial interest and our countries are basically gone, and that it is tyranny, and that torture's good, and that secret arrest is good, and that we're moving into a very dark phase of life. And I guess these guys just enjoy the power. Where do you see all this going?
Well, certainly in terms of the U.S., the military, the NORDCOM redeployments in the last months toward domestic deployments and the building that up with thousands of troops inside the United States is something that we haven't seen since the Bonus Army March, where the great hero General Douglas MacArthur started shooting on innocent women and children who were, and veterans who were demanding payment during the Depression of their World War One bonuses on an early basis so they could feed their families. And MacArthur comes in and starts wildly shooting. They did that one on a technicality to get around Posse Comitatus, but what's happening now, they're just not even thinking about the
Wasn't Patton involved in that too?
Patton was involved. He was a not yet a general, but I think he was a captain or a major. And
yeah, he was involved in the blasting. I only say that because look how they paid him back when the Russians out of a U.S. Grabbed a bunch of U.S. troops out of a German camp, and he wanted them back, and the Russians said no. He threw a fit. So did you know the London Telegraph is now reporting that?
Yes, I saw that. That's quite interesting.
Well, my point is that's how he gets repaid.
Yeah.
I mean, for all these guys that think it's cute and funny to kill U.S. citizens and fun to ride down women and children, look how it ends up. There is no honor among thieves.
That's certainly true. Nothing personal, just business.
Absolutely. So their master plan, bottom line, what are they shooting for? What are they going to try to do?
Well, I think, as I said at the beginning of the show, Alex, the only option that they have at this point is to use the mailed fist to take off the velvet glove and just try to project in an economy that's going down the tubes. They're in a very, very shaky basis to do this, but they, you know, these are people on the Titanic who simply full damn the torpedoes, full speed ahead kind of mentality. And I don't think they're psychologically capable of recalibrating that the entire model that they built the American century on from 1939 is fundamentally flawed, and they have to redesign the thing and project a more modest profile in the world. I think.
Well, what was the shift? I mean, we know that Biden and Obama are going to continue the same policies. They're just puppets of the system. But,
but
you know, when Dick Cheney starts coming out and you know, talking about basically being God, or when Hayden comes out and says the Fourth Amendment does not say we need to, you know, any due process or any probable cause
in time of war. Yeah.
But he says it doesn't even say that in the Fourth Amendment.
Mm.
I mean, so we're seeing, I mean, we know they're not delusional, but they believe.
Well, I don't know. I'm not going to swear that, Alex. I who knows what kind of a heart medication that Cheney is on and how it affects his mind.
Well, we do remember Rove telling the Washington Post that we are history's actors, you know, that we control history.
Mm.
And so that what everybody else says or thinks doesn't matter. Only we matter. So there's definitely megalomania going on. The point I'm making is that when Hayden tells people the Fourth Amendment does not say probable cause, when it does say probable cause, that is a contempt.
Yes. Well, that they have nothing but contempt for any kind of constitutional procedure. They're in a domain where the world has moved beyond that for them, and they're just power is the only language that counts in Washington. So it's
and the final equation of that is forget your home, forget your family, forget your free market, forget your future. We have nukes. We have militarized police. Shut up. We're taking over.
From his Central Texas Command Center, deep behind enemy lines, the information war continues. It's Alex Jones and the GCN Radio Network.
Author, researcher, historian William Engdahl is our guest. We're going to open the phones up here in about 10 minutes at 1-800-259-9231. It is the 22nd day of December 2008. Just a program note. I am getting over a stomach virus of some horrid type, so if I sound a little bit out of it today or different, that is the reason. Mr. Engdahl, continuing, look, I mean, you're an expert on this. You study this all the time. I study it continually. My audience does. And I guess more and more of the solution, you know, to this whole problem is just historically looking at what happens when you get power-tripping elites into control. But nowhere in history did they have nuclear weapons or biological weapons to this extent. And it's just every parallel, every scenario I look at, it goes from bad to worse. First, specifically, I mean, I know you understand this is a controlled economic consolidation. This is a military financial attack, a strike on the middle class of the world, but also on Russia and China and the Middle East to destroy their fledgling economies. And again, even the so-called elites of this country are tied in financially with these other nations. Isn't this a super class or super elite at the top of the elite who are really bringing us towards the precipice? And if you really analyze it, it's not even for their interest long term, but they just are hyper aggressive and so they can't help it?
I would answer that yes and no. There is this super elite, this so-called Davos consensus. I hate that term, but I've been to Davos 9 times and I know what the consensus is or isn't around this. But the idea of this globalization, well, that was the project. And it tied in the top elites of Europe, the top elites of Japan, the top elites of many nations of the world, Brazil, Mexico, and so forth. But there was a center of gravity to the project. And now the thing has come to a point where that whole process is breaking down, and it's not under control. You know, the best laid plans, you can't control every single thing and every single being on the entire planet. Either you're going to blow up the whole planet through nukes or through biological catastrophe or whatever, or you're going to come a cropper one way or the other. They're just the world is not responsive to computer programmed war scenarios.
No, I understand that. I'm saying specifically from memory the last time you were on with us about them trying to control, to consolidate power, the financial crisis. I agree they don't control what happens militarily and
also financially. I don't think we're in such a centrally controlled breakdown crisis that they're going to regroup and so forth. I think the thing has really gotten out of control of Paulson and his Goldman Sachs cronies in the Treasury Department, and certainly Bernanke when he ramps interest rates down to zero and desperately tries to pump liquidity into the system and keep the thing going.
But it was their nature to create the derivatives bubble so they could buy up real assets. It was their nature. We know banks like to control these implosions, engineer them to consolidate. But I agree that the greed is so great that it may be now falling apart. Some people want to say that the whole Madoff thing is a conspiracy. And it may be that at the end of the day, so his sons and the rest of his company wouldn't go under, he blew the whistle on himself. I mean, clearly he wasn't running this $50 to $100 billion scam by himself. But just the fact that the founder of the NASDAQ and the former head of the NASDAQ would be, you know, now in so much trouble and people saying they never heard of him, I mean, that gives us an idea of this criminal class.
Well, Alex, I see it. The Madoff thing is really the symbol of the entire Wall Street dollar system is a giant Ponzi scheme. And that's what it depends on, sucking ever more volumes of money into the system. And now the music stopped. It stopped with the Lehman Brothers' decision to let it go under in the middle of September. And that really has triggered unintended consequences, I think. And the way I see different national governments reacting in Europe and so forth, even the European Union, which a lot of people thought was the unit of action in Europe, is no longer the center of things. It's national governments. They said, okay, we've got to save our own behinds here, and we're facing elections next year, not the bureaucrats in Brussels who are unelected. So we got to do something to make sure the voter base is at least halfway with us. And that's
we don't have that problem here because they control the two parties to such an extent and also have their voting machines that part of the equation, worrying about the voters, doesn't matter.
Yeah. Well, fortunately, it's not quite that advanced in Europe.
Yeah,
yet.
So we don't have total global full-spectrum dominance. Now, full-spectrum dominance goes into everything.
Everything. And now I think you're going to see the emphasis shift from the financial dominance to the military in order to get the financial back under control, control world money, control the world.
And we've seen Obama say, you think a trillion plus is a big defense budget. How about a trillion and a half? How about 2 trillion?
Yeah. Well, look at the fact that he renominated Robert Gates to be defense secretary, and that says Robert Gates has spent most of his adult life as a house servant of the Bush dynasty. I mean, that's pretty much right there.
Well, you know, Cheney's on TV making fun of Obama and Biden. I mean, that's the headline. Meanwhile, they're groveling and saying that they're going to protect him and make sure he doesn't get any trouble. Regardless of what you think of Obama or Biden, I mean, that shows that they know who the real power is.
Yeah. Well, there's just such an unbridled arrogance that's coming out of Washington. It would be laughable if it weren't that these people still have some hands on the levers of power.
And I guess the military men at the high levels, they like it too. But you know, it was too much for Fox Fallon, though, the head of CENTCOM at the time, when they wanted him to attack U.S. ships with Navy SEALs. He did resign over that, we now know. So at least some of them up there don't like staging terror attacks. Or maybe he didn't mind a terror attack. Maybe he didn't want to start World War III.
Whatever, yeah. He certainly made clear that he wasn't on the program of Cheney's to launch a nuclear strike on Iran.
Well, I could throw out a lot of questions at you, but other things that are on your mind since we talked a few months ago that you think are most important.
Well, I think of course, now much of the intelligent world has woken up to the fact that there is no regime change that's taken place with the U.S. November elections, that it's simply continuity of government, continuity of the elite's power behind the scene, the permanent institutions. I don't think we need to dwell on that. That's really so obvious by now in the appointments that President-elect Obama has made. The financial disintegration that's taking place at the spillover into the real economy is something I'd like to share a few thoughts with you on this, because I've been looking at this closely over the last days. It's an element that very few people have begun to speak up about openly in connection with the current crisis, and that is the dramatic demographic shift that's about to take place. It's about to kick in 2011, 2013, in that time period, and that is that the baby boomer generation, the generation that was born after the war, beginning 45, 46, however you want to date it, but reached its peak around 65, that generation in about 2 years is going to come big time into retirement. And this is the generation that has allowed the financial boom of the post-1982 period in the U.S. To be created on Wall Street. It's made an industry out of the mutual funds with 401ks and all sorts of other savings for retirement, because they were coming into their peak earning years. The kids had gone to college and they had their home paid down, most of them. I'm talking about middle class America.
This is the investor class.
Yeah, and the small private investor that's been the lifeblood of Wall Street. And now, not only has the stock market tanked in the last months to half its value at the beginning of the year, it's going to tank a lot further as the economic crisis gets worse. But the fact is, now this generation is coming big time into retirement.
And right as they do, they're not going to have their money.
Well, they have to live off their 401k. They have to cash in. So they're going to cash in a falling stock market, a bond market, and so forth. And hyperinflation is on the cards for perhaps in 9, 12 months at the rate that the Fed is monetizing.
But, William, I mean, that's it. Notice how this happened right in time for the moment they were about to cash in on their retirements. And we know that the cities, the counties, the states have all been investing in the secret double set of books, the comprehensive annual financial reports. You know about those, right?
No, I'm not familiar with that.
Well, see, there's a double set of books. And so I'm saying, from the evidence I have, this is a planned swindle by these ruthless people to make sure the baby boomers don't get their money. But continue with your thought.
Okay. Well, what the point that I was making is that people talk about a 1 or 2 year recession. Nouriel Roubini, who's got quite a following in the economic domain in recent months, is talking about a 5% peak to trough dip in the recession. I think this is just rosy-eyed optimism to the extreme. We're going to have a depression in the United States that's going to exceed anything we saw during the 1930s. it's going to be categorized as a very Great Depression, VGD, and not just Great Depression by future economists, if there are any left around to calculate this. And this 401, this baby boom retirement factor, is going to be the thing that's going to kick it into, at least I see as a, under most optimistic scenario, a 10-year process of depression in the U.S. economy. I don't see any new blood coming into the credit system that's going to boost it up. So in that environment, I think the military option is going to be the option of last resort for the U.S. Power elites. They will see no other chance.
Now, for those that don't understand history, Mr. Engdahl, explain to them why in a bad economy there is a military option, what the social architects believe that will do, not for the public, but for themselves. Have people rally around the government, around the flag, as painful things happen at home, further consolidate power, create a growth sector in the economy.
Well, let's take the best example for most Americans who are over 60. The Great Depression ended when Roosevelt began secretly at first letting contracts, Pentagon contracts, for the buildup for a coming war with Germany and Japan, which after 1939, after 41 rather, after Pearl Harbor, was called World War II. And it was that military spending, huge military spending, that brought the U.S. out of the Great Depression. But the military spending was by the government, which had never been done on that scale before in American history. And why was that an economic positive? Well, it wasn't an economic positive because bombs and jet airplanes and B-52s or whatever the Bs were in those days are socially unproductive. They're a net minus on the
But when the war ended, those factories could now make cars.
That's the point.
Yeah.
That's the point, Alex. When the war ended, not only U.S. factories were the state of the art in world production capacity, all of Europe was a rubble heap. Japan was bombed to smithereens, nuclear and otherwise, and the U.S. had no rival on the planet that could. Russia had lost, or the Soviet Union had lost 23 million of its prime youth in the slaughter there in Europe, trying to defeat Nazi Germany. And Roosevelt and, after his death, Truman and Churchill simply chuckled up their sleeve and said, well, look, they've slaughtered each other, and now the U.S. was in a position to declare what Henry Luce said in 1941 triumphantly, this is the dawn of the American century. Now, think about that a minute. What they knew was they had all of the world's monetary gold in Fort Knox or in the New York Federal Reserve vaults. They had intact the production facilities. They had the aluminum production. They had the hydroelectric power in the Northwest that they built through the Great Depression on slave labor wages through public works programs. And now the United States was in a position, the United States elites, led by the Rockefeller family back then, David, John D. the Third, Nelson, and Lawrence Rockefeller, they were in a position literally to dominate the entire world. And that's the kind of thinking that these elites have. I'm convinced that that's what they're mulling around, how they can do that, how they can systematically defang the one nuclear power on the planet that can offer them a challenge, and that's Russia. As bankrupt as Russia is, I was in Russia recently, and I saw you have new cars everywhere in Moscow, but you have 20 million people living in an overcrowded condition in that city. It's going to take at least 10 years for the social situation to stabilize in Russia under the best of conditions, and now they have a collapsed energy price, oil down in the 40s instead of over 100. So it's going to be a very, very dicey time for the entire world in the next months. And I think if I want to leave your listeners with one message, is to see the reality of what's coming and not try to have illusions that there's going to be a one or two your post-war typical recession, and that somehow Obama's going to have a kinder and gentler America and this and the other thing. This is an imperial system in desperation, in irreversible decline. The system is, not the people. The people are the victims of this system. But they can't. It's like the Roadrunner cartoons. They're running off the cliff, and they can't do anything to slow the legs down. So 2009 is going to be, as the Chinese say, a very interesting year.
I agree with you. We're going to come back in this segment and one other and take phone calls from Maggie, Eric, Tracy, Don, and Paul. But when do you see the crises peaking? Somewhere out in 12,014 or so? Or this is so big, such a massive shift?
Somewhere in that ballpark, between 12 and 14, 2012, 2014. This is going to really be a long, dragged out.
Well, I know the establishment seems very pleased with all of this. They're going to love the domestic police state they're going to foist through on this. I mean, they've spent decades, William, setting all this up, preparing all of their preparations right on time for this moment. I know it's by design. I know it's been engineered. And they have wrought something that is just absolutely horrific. All right, we'll be right back and take some phone calls for our guest. Some very wicked people are in control.
Everybody knows that the dice are loaded. Everybody
We've got a decadent population that doesn't know that the dice are loaded.
The war is over.
Everybody How do we reach out to them? How do we get them to stand up and say no and not go quietly into the night? Well, the good news is the establishment at least had to give us a fake savior like Obama. They at least nodded towards the fact that they need the public fooled, but it isn't working. I'm jamming some calls here, but William, you know, the point I was just thinking of, I mean, Obama could have appointed insiders who weren't well-known retreads. Again, it shows an innate disdain for the public by the establishment.
Sure. A contempt. Deep down, they have nothing but contempt for us normal people. I think that's their fundamental weakness as well. This isn't an aristocracy of excellence. This is a degenerate, paranoid elite that really belongs in psychiatric care and not in government.
Well, they're going to, but I guess that's the norm in history to have nuts in control. I mean, that's what normally happens. So that's the nature. Normal people don't want the power. Maggie in Texas, you're on the air with our guest. Go ahead.
Oh, hi, Alex. I got in line before your guest came on.
I understand. Go ahead.
Okay. I wanted to, so my comment is a bit off topic, but I would like
Listen, let me just tell you and everybody else something. We don't screen the phone calls. And so unless I specifically say it's just for the guests, it's fine. So just go ahead.
Yeah. I would like to plug my new blog on fluoride. And it is at www.fluoridefreeaustin.com.
And you guys are fighting to get fluoride removed out of the water here locally, right?
Well, there are several different people working on it from several different angles. I'm not the only one. This is my particular contribution.
No, I understand. I'm saying there's an Austin movement.
Yes, there are a bunch of people. And, in fact, one of them is under the umbrella of Freedom Force. And John Bush, whom you know, is leading that, is deeply involved in that. And there is another group or person somewhere who is also using the name Fluoride Free Austin. And, in fact, I will admit that he had it first, but he is doing it through MySpace.
Yeah, well, I think activists should worry less about who's doing what first and
right. Oh,
worry
no,
about
I
getting the fluoride out. Yeah.
The more people, the better. And, yes, I will work with anybody who's interested in this subject. This is my particular contribution, and I'm going to be doing some reporting on that blog, and I've been talking in front of the Austin City Council and recording my little lectures.
Maggie, you keep it up. We got to go because the segment's over. But, William, what about that subject? What is the establishment going to do as the public becomes educated, say, on GMO foods and stops eating them, and then the free market dictates then that we want organic? What are they going to do as people find out about mercury in the vaccines or fluoride in the water and demand it out? What are they going to do as the public just says no, but the establishment wants to continue to carry out its forced medication of the public?
Well, I think that's up for grabs, and no one can predict when a population realizes how brutally they have been abused by the so-called misnamed healthcare that they've been given through the traditional mainstream hospitalization and medical system in the last decades. Then you're going to have some pretty angry people. And I saw a statistic recently that there are more people who die from mishandling mistakes in the hospital than die of cancer in the United States. That's pretty frightening statistic.
Yeah, 300,000 a year just from bad drug interactions. Stay there for one more segment.
Big Brother, mainstream media, government cover-ups. You want answers? Well, so does he. He's Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network. And now, live from Austin, Texas, Alex Jones.
Peter Schiff, financial expert, will be joining us coming up in about 25 minutes. I'm going to take your phone calls the next segment after our guest has left us so we can finish up with him. Going back to F. William Engdahl, William, give folks your website, tell them when your newest book is coming out, and then I want to get into the other, briefly, other areas of full-spectrum dominance. It's not just the military with the satellites and the face scanners going up worldwide to track everywhere we go in real time, and full-spectrum dominance, the national ID cards to buy and sell, set into a world ID system, where the whole world's a prison planet. There's also other facets of full-spectrum dominance, and that's the medical, but go ahead.
Okay. First of all, the website is www.engdahl.oilgeopolitics.net, engdahl.oilgeopolitics.net. My book, The Seeds of Destruction, The Hidden Agenda of Genetic Manipulation, which is published by globalresearch.ca in Canada. In there, I document the second of three major control mechanisms of the post-war U.S. elites. You control the oil, you control whole nations, their economic growth rates and so forth. You control food, and you can control people. The third being, of course, if you control money, you control the whole world. The Seeds of Destruction was written from that standpoint. There are a lot of books out there which talk about the uncertainties of a diet of genetically modified soybeans or corn or whatever in our cattle feed and in our direct human consumption. But what's lacking, and the reason I wrote the book, is the geopolitical background of this. Who financed this project in the beginning? It didn't just pop out of thin air as a great advance of science. It's based on absolutely wrong science. It's based on reductionism, upside-down science, I call it. And it was designed and financed from the beginning, back going to a project back in 1938 by the Rockefeller Foundation. Dr. Warren Weaver of the Rockefeller Foundation, a physicist, an atomic physicist, said, well, let's apply the same concept as atomic physics to the field of biology and reduce life to a hard little ball of matter that we call a gene. And these were dedicated, passionate eugenicists. The eugenicists are people who think you can build a master race. In fact, the same Rockefeller Foundation at that time was financing eugenics research in Nazi Germany.
Yeah, the Kaiser Wilhelm Institute and others. And literally every evil I find, like putting mercury in vaccines or discovering how to you know, that most cancer was viral, and then putting it in vaccines, and then owning the big cancer clinics, and then literally controlling the whole industry, and then even having fads, you know, studies in the 50s about how to having cancer be part of the fad, and then socializing it where it's a social event, and the women go play and have fun while they die, you know, of cancer, you know, in the cancer ward, and oh, girl, you've got it now too. Kind of how they made having AIDS fashionable. I mean, this is mass murder of the public.
Of course.
It's unbelievable.
You go back to the 1920s, one of the first projects of the newly created Rockefeller Foundation, which was a Standard Oil Trust fortune, a tax avoidance scheme for the Rockefeller fortune, they focused on education and especially on medical education in America. They closed down naturopathic clinics and hospitals all over the United States, medical schools, and allowed only those who followed the agenda, the vaccination agenda and otherwise, of the Rockefeller Foundation, Rockefeller University for medical research and so forth. And that defined the entire field of how modern medicine is applied.
Well, that's how they take control. They take over industries, and then the profits flow, but it's really all about the control. Fire out the website, sir.
www.engdahl.oilgeopolitics.net.
All right, sir. Good to hear from you.
The Genesis Communications Radio Network proudly presents The Alex Jones Show, because there's a war on for your mind.
Hello, ladies and gentlemen. Hello, and thank you for joining us. We're live at PrisonPlanet.tv for the next hour and 51 minutes. We've got Peter Schiff coming up, joining us, president and CEO of Europe Pacific Capital, to talk about what's happening with the economy here in the United States and around the world in about 20 minutes. I also want to go to some of your phone calls right now for those of you that have been holding patiently. It is December 22nd, 2008, and we are a little more than 2 hours into the regularly scheduled radio show, and then every day for the last hour, but some days even more, we go live at PrisonPlanet.tv. We're also developing this studio and another studio to put a once-a-week TV program on National Cable / Dish Network Direct TV, and we've now moved into our new offices and set up one of the studios. That's phase one. Now phase two is getting it on television, but it's all live right now at PrisonPlanet.tv. Now, before I go to Eric, Tracy, Don, Paul, and others that are patiently holding, I did briefly want to tell you about a couple of sponsors that make this broadcast possible. One of those sponsors is eFoodsDirect.com. eFoodsDirect is the longest continually operating storable foods company in the nation. Bottom line, you'll never need to stand in a bread line if you have your own bread. And with as corrupt as this elite is, with the depression that they've been engineering so they can consolidate power and bring in their world government, it is more important than ever to have firearms, to have precious metals, to have water filters, and, of course, to have storable foods. And this is the place to get them. eFoodsDirect.com or 800-409-5633. If you give them a call, they can send you a free brochure or audio CD about their materials. Or if you go online to eFoodsDirect.com, they have a bunch of videos up there which describe their fine products, their line of products, and what they have to offer. I hope you'll check out eFoodsDirect.com, the best durable foods company out there, the best prices, bar none. 800-409-5633. Another one of the sponsors that makes this transmission possible is Ecola Blue. And Ecola Blue is an atmospheric water filter. You know, they're trying to put meters on wells. They're trying to ban people having wells on their own property. You're trying to tax them, restrict them. Well, this way, it's a little unit plugs into your house or plugs into a solar panel, and via condensation gets around 7.5 gallons a day, some areas more, some areas less, depending on your humidity in your area. And you can find out more at ecolablue.com, ecoloblue.com. MacColaBlue.com, MacColaBlue.com, or give them a call at 866-585-4044. Great tasting, pure H2O, exactly the way nature makes it. No chemicals, pollutants, or toxins. Neutral pH, and then it goes through five filtration systems. And then one of the filters has multiple filters, so technically seven, but we'll just say five here. Passes through an activated carbon filter, then a silver impregnated carbon filter, then a reverse osmosis system, then a taste and odor removal filter, and is stored in an illuminated tank by an antibacterial fungal UV light. Again, 866-585-4044 or colablue.com. Okay, that said, ladies and gentlemen, let's go ahead and go to your phone calls. Let's talk to Eric in Connecticut. Eric, you're on the air. Thanks for holding.
Hi, Alex. Thanks for taking my call, and greetings from the frigid Northeast. I'm getting myself a birthday present or a Christmas present this year, a Berkey Light.
That's a great system. You know, how are you doing with the horrible global warming up there? Is it tropical in Connecticut right now, or are you experiencing the coldest temperatures in more than 20 years?
I was looking forward to being able to open my pool up in January, but I can't do that because it's like 20 degrees outside.
Well, listen, if you'll just don't worry about all the GMO food killing everybody, and don't worry about the bad drug interactions killing 300,000 a year, and don't worry about all the toxic waste and all the real environmental problems. You can just pay a bunch of taxes to private bankers, carbon indulgences, and then everything will be okay. How's that sound?
You know, Alex, that sounds great, and I think if I can pay them the more, I'll be able to sleep a little better at night because, you know, they work so hard get us under their thumb.
Well, even if you believe that man-made carbon dioxide and methane from cows' flatulence is destroying the ozone layer and heating the earth up, which, of course, it's not, why moving it to China and India, where they have no restrictions, and actually increasing the level of carbon dioxide, how is that actually going to cool the earth down? I mean, even if we believe their official story,
I was going to say, Alex, if you read their studies, I mean, people don't believe it when I tell them at work. I say, all you need to do is go and research and read what these elites are saying they're going to do. I mean, they come right out, but they're counting on the average American citizen to basically just sit down and watch TV and not even pay attention.
Well, that's because they knew people were lazy. They told them in the 50s, you don't have to worry about government anymore. You don't have to be involved anymore. Trust the elites. There's no such thing as corruption. It doesn't exist. And it's like telling somebody there's no such thing as cancer. Go ahead and smoke five packs of cigarettes a day. And then now we've got cancer. And they're going, but there's no such thing.
The denial.
And you're like, no, there is, pal. And they're like, no, I heard Al-Qaeda talks like that. I heard Al-Qaeda said, hold on, you know, it's shut up. I mean, basically, if you think that there's any corruption in our government, you're with Al-Qaeda. I mean, imagine what the government's done.
Oh, and denial is their greatest ally. And that's what people need to realize, that denial is their best friend because it prevents people from researching. It prevents people from taking action. It prevents people from waking up. And the elites can just sit back and rub their hands together. And you even see it on TV. I remember back in the 90s and earlier, you had shows that would portray the government as questionable, corrupt, dubious, evil. Now you look at a lot of these programs. I saw a preview for this program where I see nothing but these heroes, quote-unquote, running around in their little ninja outfits busting door downs. It's a program called Homeland Security. You could have knocked me over with a feather when I saw that one.
Homeland Security, USA.
Yeah, these shows are...
It's with the USA. You're not against the USA, are you?
Yeah, and I'm hearing, you know, I like the way Alan Stang puts it, Shallow Sean Hannitzwit. They're talking about these concerts they go to where everybody has a tear in his eye because they're singing about the war on terror and everything else with all these country stars. Well, don't they realize that greed has replaced common sense in this country? We've lost our way in large part.
Well, no, I hear you, and I appreciate your call. What's happened is people bought into the delusion. They bought into the Republican, the Democratic illusion. They've bought into that we're the good guys, and we're going to kill some Arabs, and it's good, and we're going to take our liberty so Al-Qaeda doesn't get them. And they have no idea they've been completely set up. Oh, yeah, Hannity has these Pentagon-worshipping events. And then, meanwhile, the Pentagon is a foreign alien group destroying America. It's like the main seat of the cancer for the Federal Reserve. It's taking over the United States, overthrowing our nation like some third-world country. And then, meanwhile, there's country stars, everybody crying, playing, you know, proud to be an American, because at least I know I'm free. And then they talk about how they're giving the money to the children who lost their family members in Iraq. How about don't send them to Iraq? How about don't kill 1.5 million Iraqis in the last 5.5 years? It doesn't matter. All these delusional people, their time's running out. They're going to find out what they've helped the New World Order do. Don in Alabama. No, actually, Tracy's next. Tracy in New Mexico, you're on the air.
Hello, Alex.
Hi.
Alex, the last time I spoke with you was about 7 years ago. I've been listening to you since you were on shortwave. And one thing that has always remained the same with you, listening to you talking about this, is you bring us wonderful information, information we couldn't get anywhere else unless we spent all our time doing it, which we can't. But you've never told us where we can go, who we can talk to, what we can do to bring this to a halt, because everything you suggested so far doesn't work. It's not going to work. It's not designed to work. They've got us by the you-know-what, and the only box left is the cartridge box. I want to know if there's any groups anywhere that are preparing for this to stand up and defend themselves. If they are, I'd like to join. And the time for talking is over. The time for listening is over, and the time for waking idiots up is over. It's time for us to do something. It has been for years. Those are my thoughts. What are yours?
Well, look, as things get worse, more people are going to wake up and listen to what we have to say. And it's during the greatest crisis that it's the time for talking. I mean, that's why the establishment pays tens of billions of dollars a year alone domestically for fake newscasts, disinformation, fake bloggers. So 90% of a war, according to the Pentagon, is info war. They use deception and lies and deceit and fake patriotism. We use the truth and true patriotism to counter them. By number one, pointing out they're not American, they're anti-American, they work for offshore banks who've stolen $8.5 trillion. People say that now is not the time for talking. Well, that's because you've been awake for decades, probably. And unfortunately, so many people that know what's going on have decided to just pull their antenna in and not wake people up, not be involved anymore. And so I see the establishment staging terror attacks all the time to try to say that we're violent so they have a pretext to crack down on the public. So I don't think violence is the answer. And the people I hear on the radio talking about violence, they never seem to get in trouble for calling for that. That's because they're feds. If I called for that, I'd be arrested very, very quickly. So, no, we need to hear a lot more talk and a lot louder. And we need to hear it right now. Does that answer your question?
So your answer to my question is you think I'm a fed.
No, that's not what I just said. I said I'm on the radio, sir. Stay there. I'll talk to you when we get back.
Waging war on corruption. Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network.
Look, what I said, Tracy from New Mexico, was the people on the air always calling for physical war and to kill judges. One of them is Hal Turner. Turned out he is an FBI informant. You know, they catch these white supremacist groups all the time, run by feds. So what I said was, and this is what's not fair with the audience, is people don't take what I say, they take what they want to hear me say. Okay, I didn't call you a fed. What I said is, to communicate with me, you had to call in and say, I think the time for talking is over. And don't worry, the time for talking may come soon enough. And then it'll be time for people that have done all this talking about how they're not going to talk to actually get in a shooting war. You know, I'm not going to a FEMA camp. I'm not turning my firearms in. I'm not going along with the New World Order. But, I mean, I'm a radio host. And it's not my job to charge off like George Washington and get into a shooting war. with the feds, and I'm not saying you're doing this. I'm saying I'm criticized a lot by people for being all talk. Well, our talk has defeated hundreds and hundreds of bad pieces of legislation. Our talk has exposed a lot of bad things. Talk a few weeks ago shot down, at least for now, a constitutional convention. Tracy still there?
Yeah, we're still in the shape we're in. We're still facing what we're facing. Nothing's changed.
Okay, well, you're the commander then. I mean, Tracy, who are you going to shoot? Stop. Who is Tracy in New Mexico going to go out and blast?
I'm not exactly sure.
Well, don't look for me to tell you who to go shoot.
Waking up people isn't stopping this. They don't care if we're awake. They don't care if we're watching them, as long as we don't try to stop them. They'll continue to do what they're doing as long as all we do is talk about it, find out things.
All right, let me throw something out here to you. The police arrested about 3,000 people, actually a little bit more than 3,000 people in New York in 2004 at the RNC. I was there. Peaceful people. AP reporters, radio reporters, spectator reporters, you know, even conservatives. They put them in a FEMA camp, Pier 57. I had the police come over and threaten to arrest me for just videotaping and across the street. Now, nobody got in a shooting war with the police. Lawsuits were filed. They lost over 1,000 lawsuits, hundreds of millions of dollars. And now the New York police don't claim you need a permit to march. Now they don't claim there's free speech zones. And all over the country, take Austin. Austin police would arrest you back a decade ago if you protested anywhere without a permit. Now they don't because they lost a bunch of lawsuits. That example right there, are you saying it would have been better for people just to blast the police? I mean, I'm trying to understand this.
Well, I'm trying to understand it myself. After you've done all this.
But you're saying nothing's better. The people, sir, they're being forced to admit there's world government now. Congress has a 9% approval rating right now, the lowest it's ever been. And so in a way, you're right. The people are awake, but still they go forward. But they go forward with less and less support, more and more leaks out. When Dick Cheney wanted to blow up U.S. ships and blame it on Iran, the admiral resigned, and then suddenly it was leaked to New Yorker magazine. We have friends in government as well. We don't want to just randomly go pick some innocent cop out, you know, who's parked in a donut, place's parking lot and walk up and shoot him in the head three times.
Well, I guess all this talking and all this waking up is going to stop them from doing what they're doing. They're going to be afraid that we've found them out.
No, sir. When it comes to the physical, listen, violence is probably inevitable down the road, like you see in Greece and other places, but on a much wider scale. But we need to have as many people awake as we can before it comes to that.
Well, I'll agree with you on that.
I mean, certainly understand my position and my job is to hope we wake up the police and military so they don't come to our houses to take us to FEMA camps, is to wake up people that go to their churches so that they find out their preachers are secretly paid by FEMA and are spies so they can expose that in their church and hand out flyers in the parking lot after they're kicked out of church to break that church up so we can have real churches. Look, the solution is in the mirror. And all I'm saying is, yes, they're arrogant. Yes, they're brutal. Yes, they're stupid. Yes, they want a physical fight. And don't worry, man, they're going to get one. Let me ask you a question. You ever killed anybody?
Nope.
I mean, you ever... Look, my whole point is, sir, you don't want to get into this position. You don't want to get into a hot war with these people. And they don't want to get into a hot war with us either. It's like that Appleseed fella said, mutually assured destruction. We'll be right back. Stay with us. All right. right, for the next 30 minutes, we're joined by Peter Schiff, President and Chief Global Strategist for Euro-Pacific Capital. Got a link up to that up on Infowars.com and PrisonPlanet.com. Especially lately, he's been on TV, national, international TV, quite a bit over the years, but he really doesn't need any introduction these days. He's on television and mainline radio constantly because so many of his predictions have come true. He's also one of the chief advisors to Congressman Ron Paul when he was running for president. Ron Paul gets a lot of his financial advice from Peter Schiff. So I wanted to get Peter Schiff here on the show before we run out, before the year is over. Mr. Schiff, thanks for coming on with us.
Well, thanks for having me.
In the limited time we've got in this 30 minutes, let's get right into it. I mean, what we've seen with the banker takeover bill, they're given almost omnipotent power. And then the San Francisco Chronicle reports 2 weeks ago, $8.5 trillion is missing. Bloomberg is told that they won't, the Federal Reserve won't tell them where several trillion, $2 trillion of that has gone. And now we have the AFP reporting the head of the private Spanish central bank saying world economic meltdown, total meltdown, worse than the Great Depression. We have the prime minister of Canada saying similar things. What's really happening here, and are these guys trying to cause a world depression?
Well, I don't think they're trying to. I think it's going to happen, although not necessarily worldwide. I certainly think there's going to be a inflationary depression in the United States. Hopefully the rest of the world will have the good sense not to follow us down that path, because it certainly, you know, it doesn't have to be. But, you know, I think it's interesting, too. You're talking about all the powers being ceded to the government, to the Federal Reserve, as if they didn't do enough damage with the powers that they already had. Because remember that the problem that we're facing right now is a result of government interference in the free market, a government manipulation of interest rates, government attempts to artificially stimulate the economy by using monetary and fiscal policy, by interfering, by guaranteeing certain debts to encourage risk-taking in certain areas. I mean, we have been micromanaging the economy into this gigantic bubble that has now burst. And now what we're supposedly learned from all this is that we need even more government, that we need government doing even more than it did before. More decisions need to be turned over to government. More resources need to be allocated, more government. Government should be picking the winners and losers and reallocating wealth. And this is going to lead to a complete disaster, much greater than anything we're trying to deal with now.
So a completely controlled economy, and the mainstream media has really been involved in a huge hoax. I'd like you to speak to that, Mr. Schiff, saying that the free market did this, when really this was crony capitalism. This was groups of regulators and revolving doors between government and select brokerage firms and banks. Take the Madoff situation where the SEC was told about what he was doing but didn't enforce the rules they had.
Yeah, look, this is certainly not a creature of capitalism. We would not be in this mess were we more of a capitalistic economy. It's only because government was allowed to permeate into so much of our economy, particularly the Federal Reserve being the chief culprit there. None of this would have happened. The bubbles wouldn't have been inflated, and so there would be no deflation of a bubble had it never been inflated in the first place. And remember, what's happening right now, at least, you know, what the public perceives as being a problem, which is falling home prices, people losing their jobs, credit no longer flowing. None of this is the problem. This is all the consequence of the problem. The problem is all the reckless borrowing and spending in the years that preceded the collapse. And why did all that take place? That all took place because of the Federal Reserve, because of the monetary policy that it pursued that led to all this irresponsible borrowing, both on Wall Street to finance speculation and on Main Street to finance consumption and speculation.
Mr. Schiff.
And all these bad decisions are coming back to bite us.
You've got a great telephone. It's overdriving. Can you back off of it a bit?
Sure.
Fantastic. We're hearing you loud and clear, but it was just overdriving. Thank you. Specifically, though, we see hyperinflation in certain areas continuing, and we see trillions of dollars being issued out into the world economy just by the Federal Reserve and the Treasury here alone. And so there's talk of hyperinflation rearing its head in the next couple of years. So don't we really just have a depression within the real Main Street economy, but then when it goes into the Wall Street economy, that it's actually generating a competing force of inflation? And how do you see those two things playing out?
Well, I mean, all these problems are a consequence of inflation. The government has been too easy and has created too much money. For a while, the inflation, the cheap money went into stocks and it went into real estate and distorted the economy and distorted our decision-making process, our consumption and savings decisions. And the economy is way out of balance. But right now, as the market is trying to correct the imbalances brought about by all the inflation government created, they're creating even more inflation. And people don't understand how dangerous this inflation is going to be. It is going to show up in consumer prices almost exclusively and in commodity prices. Right now, the effect of all that inflation on prices is being hidden based on some of the shorter-term effects, downward pressures being put on prices, that are the result of deleveraging and bankruptcies and things like that. But these are short-term factors. The factors that are pushing prices down are temporary, and they will go away soon, whereas the factors that are going to be sending prices through the roof are simply gaining momentum as we speak.
How bad is this going to get?
Very, very bad. It's unfortunate because, you know, the worse it gets, the more the government is going to interfere to try to save us. And so the more the government interferes, the more they try to stimulate the economy, the more they try to revive it, the more they're going to stifle it. There's a fire, and the only way the government knows to put it out is with gasoline. And the bigger the fire grows, the more gasoline they throw on it. And they don't make the connection between the bigger fire and the gasoline because the only thing they know about a fire is throw gas on it. And so it's going to be a raging wildfire that's going to consume everything because the government is going to keep feeding it.
Well, don't the government bureaucrats also like the power they get by selectively handing out trillions of dollars?
Of course. So it's, you know, there's a reason for this, too. It's kind of a self-perpetuating loop where the government likes the idea that they need more power. And the worse the economy gets, the more they can justify the power grab and the more likely citizens are to give up their rights and to give more power to government because they're convinced that the government's going to use that power benevolently for their benefit. But, of course, we all know that power corrupts. And when you give the government absolute power, that will corrupt absolutely.
Peter
and
Schiff,
that is basically what we're doing.
Peter Schiff, I mean, you've been very successful at investments, investing, you know, over $1 billion, you know, getting great returns for folks. Your predictions are what have been even more stunningly accurate out there. Where do you see the United States in 6 months, a year, 2 years? Give us a forecast of, you know, not where you'd like us to go or where different decisions of you or Ron Paul were running the Treasury, but where you think they're taking us.
Well, they're taking us in the wrong direction. I mean, what we need in this country is we need to address the root causes of these imbalances, our lack of savings. Why is it that we're not saving enough money? Well, interest rates are too low. They need to be much higher. People need to be rewarded for saving, and we need to make it expensive to borrow. We need to produce more. We need to make more stuff, not consume more stuff. And in order to do that, we need more capital. And again, we need more savings to get more capital, but we also need capital to be efficient, which means we need less regulations, right? We need fewer regulations, not more regulations. We need a smaller government because we're going to get more capital if we have lower taxes, but we can't get lower taxes unless we get a smaller government. But right now, everything we're doing, we're getting more regulation, bigger government, more expensive government, more onerous regulation. We're trying to force-feed more credit into the American economy. We're keeping interest rates much too low. We're encouraging all of the wrong behavior, and we're punishing all the right behavior. We're bailing out companies that should be failing, that should be going bankrupt, and we're taxing or taking money away from the companies that are successful and that we need to expand. And we can't have a successful economy where you take all the free market forces and cage them, and instead resources are allocated, companies fail and succeed based on the whims of politicians. And, you know, it's not a function of, you know, who you are, how good you can do something, but who you know and what political connections you have. And that's not how to run an economy.
Well, let's take the case of Bernard Madoff. I mean, we've got this guy Well, they're saying $50 to $100 billion. No one seems to know. Big banks involved with him. Big brokerage firms involved investing with him. And he's now claiming that he alone ran this whole scam, generated the spreadsheets, what was mailed out to investors that no one, including his sons, didn't know. Sounds like he's taken the fall for a bunch of other people.
Well, it sounds like he is. I mean, he's 70 years old. He probably figures, you know, how bad is a life sentence for him? I'm sure that other people knew. I just can't believe that he could have orchestrated the whole thing and not a single other person in his organization knew that these trades weren't being made, that the returns were phony. But, you know, the bigger issue here, and I think there's two issues. Number one is, theoretically, all of this happened under the watchful eye of the SEC and, to a lesser extent, FINRA, the companies that regulate broker-dealers and investment managers. And if they couldn't catch that, I mean, that's kind of ridiculous that they couldn't catch it. But I think that a lot of people, one of the reasons that so many people just kind of accepted that it was true is because they assumed that the government was regulating it all and assumed that government regulators were on the job protecting the fraud. And I think in general, government regulation does more harm than good for no other reason than it breeds complacency. I think the public would have been a lot more skeptical of a Madoff had there been no SEC, had there been no FINRA, had people realized that there are dishonest people, they might have done a better job. The free market might have done a much better job of policing this than the government did.
Yeah, here's
but also know. I think the bigger lesson here is that Ponzi schemes don't work. And they don't work when a private citizen tries it, but they also don't work when the government does it, which means Social Security is going to meet the same fate.
That was my next point.
Madoff.
That was my next point. But instead, the Ponzi scheme's gotten so big with thousands of quadrillions or whatever globally that when does that Ponzi scheme come due? Seeing the Ponzi scheme fall?
I think we are. I mean, first of all, remember, there's a lot of naturally occurring Ponzi schemes in the market. The housing bubble was a Ponzi scheme. The stock market bubble was a Ponzi scheme.
Oil.
The whole idea is that you have a greater fool. The investment returns not come from the investment, but from cashing out to a greater fool. That's all Ponzi dynamic. Think about the way the United States operates its budget. We borrow money forever. The national debt always gets bigger. It never gets smaller. Whenever the debts mature, we have to go borrow more money to pay it off.
But the final equation
is, whenever
we
have to make an interest payment, we have to go deeper into debt.
But in the final equation, that's what Dick Cheney says. He says, we have the nukes, and we can nuke the whole planet. You know, he said that Sunday on Fox News.
And he did?
Well, I mean, he said the president is all powerful. You can't question the president's power. After all, he's got the nuclear football.
So what does he mean by that? That if people don't want to buy our bonds, we're going to nuke them?
I don't know what that means. Every time he gives a speech now or talks, he just says the president's above the law. No one can question him. I can play the clip if you want to hear it. The point is,
that's just nonsense, and it's very frightening that somebody is even saying that, and that we're just allowing it.
But I mean, I think that's the delusional megalomania. And I mean, now Obama's coming in promising to give people millions of jobs and more taxes.
I like the way he changed his mind. He said, he's changing. He's not going to do 2 million jobs, but 3 million jobs. So why not 5 million jobs? Why not 10 million jobs? I mean, like he can just create jobs of however many he decides.
Well,
that's how many he's going to create.
Mr. Schiff, he's not stupid. He may not be as smart as an economist or investor as you are, but they know that raising taxes is going to hurt the economy.
Well, they're not even planning on except they might raise taxes on employers, but they're not talking about big tax hike increases. They're just talking about printing money. See, the problem is they think that printing money and spending it is as good as actually earning it, or that wealth can come from a printing press. And they don't understand how legitimate wealth is created. They don't
understand. So where is this going? I mean, how bad? I mean, you say it's going to get very bad. What is very bad? 24 months from now, what's the United States look
very
like?
Very bad is very bad is runaway inflation. Very bad is shortages of basic goods, food and energy products that we now take for granted, becoming prohibitively expensive and hard to come by because of government in price controls, because of distribution problems. What we're looking at is sky-high interest rates for everybody but the government. The only people that are going to be able to borrow is going to be the government, and all they're going to be able to do is give us money that doesn't buy anything. We're talking about a situation where instead of worrying about Mexicans coming across the border, we're going to be worrying about Americans going in the other direction.
Well, that's already happening with a lot of wealthy people that see the writing on the wall.
Yeah, but wait till it's not just wealthy people. Wait till it's young people who are looking for opportunities and know they don't find any here because the government has stifled them all.
Well, that's my next
issue.
And
when people that immigrated, that second-generation Americans start going back to their home country, where their parents came from, because there's more opportunities outside the United States than within. That's where we're headed.
Because the bureaucrats, like a horde of locusts, came to the United States and basically ate it down to the bone. I want to come back and talk about solutions, way to avert this, if it can be averted, or ways to individually protect ourselves in a final short segment with Peter Schiff. And we'll tell you about his website and more of the information he has, also his radio show that he does. But speaking of government solutions, they've announced 20,000 battle-hardened troops for Homeland Security for North America under NORTHCOM. The Army War College now says they are preparing to engage militarily the American people. The people try to remove the government in Washington in the spirit of 1776, that the military will engage us. Where do you see that going?
Excuse me, what did you say again? I thought I was going to a break.
No. I mean, we're going to go to break and then we're going to come back. But I was asking you briefly, you've heard about the plan, well, they're already doing it, to put 20,000 U.S. troops on the streets to engage the American people?
No, I hadn't heard about that.
Really? You haven't heard about that?
No. But, I mean, I wouldn't be surprised if we're, ultimately, as I said, I've been forecasting that there would be civil unrest and rioting in response to, government-created shortages and lack of opportunity. A lot of people are going to be losing their jobs in the next several years, and because of government policy, they're not going to find new jobs. And I think unemployed people who are hungry get very frustrated. And so maybe the government knows that this is going to happen. They're trying to get the troops in advance, on the streets in advance.
But, I mean, they've been quietly setting this up for decades, but now they announce NORTHCOM, Homeland Security is for the American people. That's quite a totalitarian shift, isn't it?
Yep, and it's a shift in the wrong direction, and we're headed there fast.
Okay, sir, there's several websites. Which one should we plug here on air?
Oh, my website, www.europac.net.
Yep, europac.net. Peter Schiff is our guest. We'll put his website up on screen right now at prisonplanet.tv. Final segment with him straight ahead with some solutions. Stay with us.
Before you slip into unconsciousness,
The Little Book of Bull Moves and Bear Markets is his latest bestseller. Jim Rogers calls it a must-read book. Ron Paul says everybody needs to read it. Anyone wishing to know why the economy is in trouble should read this book. So you can check those out simply by Googling Peter Schiff or go to his website we have up on screen right now at prisonplanet.tv. Don't forget my websites are infowars.com and prisonplanet.com. Okay, in the 4 minutes we have left with you, if we could fix government, what would be the good moves there to fix this? But obviously that's not going to happen. Secondarily, what can we do individually from your educated opinion, sir?
Well, individually is about the only thing we can do. I mean, we could try to influence the politicians, but it doesn't look like that's going to work. I mean, they've got us on this course. They're going to drive this bus right over the edge of a cliff. And, we can try to scream and get them to change course, but the bottom line is we're probably going to go over that cliff. So the best thing that we can do is try to get off the bus ourselves. And that's what I'm helping people do with their investments, with trying to understand that it's the dollar that's going to be the big casualty here, the value of our money, and that if people want to protect their wealth, if they don't want to be stuck footing the bill for all the bailouts and all the stimulus packages, they need to get their money out of U.S. assets. They need to be out of dollars completely, out of U.S. currency. That means out of money markets, CDs, bonds. If you can, out of U.S. real estate, I think out of most U.S. stocks. And move your money abroad. I mean, be in foreign currencies, be in foreign government bonds, corporate bonds, foreign stocks around the world, owning assets that earn their revenues and pay their dividends.
What about gold and silver?
Other than the dollar. And certainly owning precious metals, owning gold, owning silver, having some physical gold in your possession, having more gold outside the United States, where it might be even safer, investing in mining companies. I mean, people have to understand and plan for what's going to happen. As bad as it's going to be, we can at least plan for it. We can at least try to minimize the impact on our own lives and our own finances, although in many respects, you know, the way it's going to play out in our personal lives may way overshadow any success we might have.
I was about to say, I mean, crime is already exploding. How bad do you think it's going to get?
Well, look, I certainly think it's going to get worse as economic conditions worsen. And I don't think we're a civil society. I mean, maybe I'm wrong here, but I don't think we're as civil as our grandparents were during the 1930s.
No, I think
you're
right.
I don't think that the type of hardship that we're going to have is going to be greeted the way it was. I think we have an entire generation of dependency in this country of people who think they're entitled to something.
Well, sir, I think it's worse than
that. I think a lot of
that.
People are going to react very differently than the way our grandparents did.
I think it's worse than that. I mean, I agree with you. If 90% of our forebears were agrarian and now we're 90% urban, even if they were nice people socially, how are they going to feed themselves?
Oh yeah, I mean, it's, as I said, it's going to be difficult, and it's already amazing in a nation that's supposedly so abundant, right? When it comes to food, you know, 90% of our seafood is imported. You know, I mean, it's crazy. We have all these oceans, two oceans, we have all these lakes, yet we import 90% of our fish.
Well, in closing,
now when the dollar collapses and that fish isn't coming in, you know, it's not going to be there, and it's not, you know, it's not like we got a bunch of boats and fishermen ready to go, you know, to pick up the slack.
No, you're absolutely right. Well, I mean, take global warming in closing. Even if you believe that, that our breath, you know, our breathing and our cars and cow flatulence is killing the earth, moving everything to China and India where they have no standards is going to boost the level of those gases. So it's the same thing. Government is literally killing our economy.
Well, that's it. I mean, what we've got to do is kill government before it kills us. They're like a cancer. And, you know, the cancer keeps getting bigger and bigger and bigger, and we're feeding the cancer as opposed to trying to fight it off.
All right. Have a great Christmas and have a great new year. And I look forward to talking to you coming up next year as this unfolds. Thank you so much, Peter Schiff. Fire out the website one more time.
It's www.europac.net.
All right. Take care. I'm Alex Jones. My website's InfoWars.com. Stay with us. We have April Gallup's lawyer, Bill Veal, on the line with us. Our listeners, 5-6 months ago, raised money with April Gallup here on the show to be able to file suit against George Bush and Dick Cheney for the 9/11 attacks. In this lawsuit, they're going to get discovery unless they declare national security, which should be very, very interesting. That should be revealing in and of itself. The ex-GI plaintiff alleges she has been denied government support since then because she raised painful questions about the inexplainable failure of military defense at the Pentagon that day. The suit charges that Cheney, Rumsfeld, and Myers conducted a conspiracy to facilitate the attacks and alleges that other unnamed individuals had foreknowledge. She was there smelling the explosives. She was right in the zone where the supposed aircraft hit, you know, cutting cleanly through the walls, no airplane wreckage found. And then they showed up at the hospital telling her what she did see and basically threatening her. That's when she started asking questions. She'd brought her baby to work that day, which she'd been authorized to do. They were then claiming that, you know, she shouldn't have done that, as if she could go into the building without them knowing she had her baby. Just an amazing story with April Gallup. And so I wanted to get her lawyer on to first recap what happened to her and then why he's chosen to take this case and where the case is going. This is a landmark, obviously landmark case in its importance. And if it goes anywhere, extremely important, historical. So thanks for coming on, sir.
No, you bet.
Short segment now. Just recap what happened to April, why she's suing, and then let's get into the details of the suit itself.
Well, you know, she was, it was the first day back from maternity leave, and she showed up at the Pentagon, and she was going to take her kid to daycare, and they said, no, we want you to go in there and finish up some job that had to be done at the computer. And they say you can take your kid to daycare if you get finished that. So she went in and basically sat down and turned the computer on. And, you know, the place just blew up. There were enormous explosions, and she was knocked unconscious and, you know, came to after some period of time, and she really doesn't know how long that was, and managed to gather herself and her child, a 2 month old, up, and she and other people who were in similar position managed to struggle out through the dust and the smoke and what fire there was. There wouldn't have that much fire at that point. And, you know, stepping over all kinds of debris and probably people.
All that jet fuel and hardly any fire.
Yeah, well, yeah, I mean, there were fires coming out of the computers that she remembers, but what she her primary focus and her memory of getting out of there was just through smoke and dust. And then she saw a light, and people were kind of helping her, and she struggled out onto the lawn there. She stepped over the last barrier of the wall and basically collapsed out on the lawn there, and next thing she knew, she was in the hospital. I mean, it's just a horrendous moment of anybody's life, but she is an inspiring character in so many ways, and you know, you just can't let her be courageous by herself. That she inspires you in that way, and so the only people with the ability to find justice under these circumstances are lawyers, and I happen to be one. So,
well, Bill, that was the next thing I was going to say to Bill Veal here. You are courageous. You have a lot of courage. They clearly, a lot of evidence shows they just whacked a guy, you know, involved with Karl Rove for exposing some things, and we know they kill people every day. You know, they kill 3,000 on 9/11, so they'll stoop to anything. So, we'll be praying for you here. And when we come back, specifically why you decided to take the case, what her standing is, and what it's alleging, where this is going. I mean, imagine, folks, we have a plaintiff who clearly has the standing because she was a victim of the attack, and they are going forward with a suit. We'll tell you exactly why when we get back with our guest. Again, I'm Alex Jones. This is the GCN Radio Network. The websites are PrisonPlanet.tv and InfoWars.net. Please stay with us.
He's the T-Rex of political talk. Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network.
We are back live, ladies and gentlemen, and our guest is attorney Bill Veal. Bill, tell us a little bit about yourself. I know you're involved in 9/11 Truth. Specifically, you know, why you've decided to take this on. And then let's get into the suit itself, because it is bringing out a lot of really powerful information.
Well, I did 30-some years as a public defender. I retired as chief assistant in Contra Costa County a couple of years ago. And at that point, I was pretty much like normal, average Americans, you know, unbelieving. And I didn't have any particular suspicions about 9/11. And, you know, a colleague of mine threw a book at me one day, and I started reading. And, you know, I was inspired by, you know, at the time I was inspired by the enormity of the atrocity that had taken place, no matter who did it. But after you do the reading and you do the research and you learn about what went on, then you become inspired by the just stunning, you know, breathtaking, colossal sense of the nature of the crime itself and the overwhelming arrogance of the people who were engaged in it, the most powerful people in the world, and their thought that they could get away, basically, with what they did.
Well, they think they can get away. They think they can get away with stealing $8.5 trillion with the banker takeover. I mean, arrogance. Who would think they would write up memos saying we can torture children in front of their parents and then being questioned about it and saying, yes, the president has that power? But I'm sorry, I interrupt. Go ahead.
Well, so I'm inspired by the enormity of the crime. I'm inspired by their arrogance, and I'm inspired by the courage of April Gallup. And so I decided that if nobody else is going to do it, I mean, you know, in a perfect world, for God's sake, there would have been some U.S. attorney someplace who would have said, gee whiz, this is, you know, smells a little funny to me. I think maybe we ought to look into it. And they would have sent out some investigators. And, you know, you don't have to look that hard to find something to latch on to that leads you to another place, that leads you to another place. And then, you know, if you keep your eyes open and your ears open, you learn what's going on here. This is not hard. This is not really a closed case. And so, you know, you would have thought there would have been somebody in along those lines, some in law enforcement person in this country, a lawyer who would have taken on the job, but that didn't happen, so it's left to the private citizens. And you know, there I am, and I've got a friend who is a veteran civil rights lawyer, Dennis Cunningham, and the two of us decided that this was something that had to be done. So
okay, so Dennis Cunningham has signed his name onto this declaration against tyranny as well. You know, reading from the suit itself, by helping the attack succeed, defendants and their cohorts created a basis for the seizure of extraordinary power, a pretext for launching the so-called global war on terror, in the guise of which they were free to pursue plans for military conquest, full spectrum dominance, and American supremacy around the world, as they have done, reads the lawsuit. And so you go into motive, everything. Walk us through the basics of the suit and what her standing is and where you think this will go, what courts it's going to be heard in.
Yeah, well, you know, April was, she was hurt. It's as simple as that. If, you know, if you assault somebody, they have a cause of action against you. So that's, we're playing this on the simplest and most basic level. She was hurt by these people, and so she has standing to sue. The Congress of the United States decided very shortly after 9/11, with very little thought, as far as I can see, that everything, every claim that there would be made, that would be made throughout the country, that had anything to do with 9/11 would have the jurisdiction for that claim would be in the Southern District of New York in the federal courts. So that's where we filed the lawsuit, and we believe that you know, it's going to be a large, you know, hard fight here, because these guys have got power that pretty hard to really conceive of. But anyway, so we make the claim that there was a conspiracy. It included the, you know, the highest people in the government, the Cheney, Rumsfeld, Myers, and lots of other people too that we did not name. We named them as John Does, as you do in federal court. And we believe that they got together and decided that this was a moment that was required by American history, that a sleeping nation basically needed to be awakened from its torpor and made to understand the dangers of the 21st century and how, you know, we needed to project our power around the world so that, you know, we could run things as were required by, you know, those who know best, those who have the power in this country. So, they left enough evidence behind that we could see what they had done. We don't know the precise mechanisms in many instances, but we don't have to. And so
that's right. We know the official story has been a disproven fairy tale hoax, a fraud, a sham, a giant cockamamie fraud. And this has to be done. Now, specifically, did you guys file the suit right as Bush is leaving office, hoping that during the transition, someone in the establishment might not be able to block or slow the suit down as fast as they might have been able to?
No, if this is a matter of it's taken us this long to get it together to the point where we thought we were comfortable to go ahead with it. It's an enormous amount of work, and we had a lot of research to do. There's you know, an enormous amount of material that's been written, and we had to get on top of as much of it as we could in order to have the lawsuit make sense and then make claims that we thought we could back up, and that's what we've done. And so, you know, we filed it when we got it ready, and as soon as we could do it. And there was no particular hope that – I don't think things are going to change that much, you know, with the new administration.
No, I agree with you. Yeah, I was just saying.
So I mean, you know, the people with different attitudes will be in positions where they could affect things, but those people have been in a position to speak out long before this, and nothing's been said. So I don't.
I agree. I mean, if there was any questions about Obama, all of his appointments should leave, and his announcements should leave. No questions about where he is going.
I would disagree with you there. I've got great hope, as a matter of fact, for him in many respects. But I think that this is simply an issue that is too big for anybody with that kind of access to speak on at this point. Maybe at some point or another, it'll be put in a position where they will have to say something. That's kind of what we're doing.
But, I mean, listen, you're a smart guy, Mr. Veal. Look, you've got... I mean, seriously, you've got over... I mean, you can figure out 9/11. You can figure this out. You've got Bush setting up the military to police the American people, and then Obama is cheerleading it, ready to get all this new power, and he's keeping Gates in. I mean, they are passing the baton. They are in unison like it's an Olympic relay team here.
Well, you know, I think, you know, your points are well taken, and I'm a hopeful person. I filed this lawsuit because I'm a hopeful person, and I'm going to wait and let those people who have attained power disappoint me. I'm going to maintain my hope.
Sure. How do you see them coming at you or trying to block it?
Oh, I don't think... these people don't have lawyers. They have law firms. It's going to be enormous.
You go after them for covering up the attack. And that's one of the points in the suit. This is a very detailed suit. Please continue.
The important thing about this, it's not the most important thing, but one of the reasons why we're in a position that we are is the cover up basically was conceived before the crime was conceived.
That's almost. Right.
Everything had to be done with the thought that, okay, there is going to be at some point or another somebody looking in this direction.
That's right.
So we need to misdirect you at that point. And then they make you look over here and they misdirect you at that point.
Exactly. And the cover up is the evidence of the crime. I mean, I would say, admission A, or the piece of evidence being brought in A, is that 2 months before they changed the shoot down power from the generals and admirals or their designates to only Dick Cheney or Secretary of Defense Rumsfeld. I mean, that was the first time since 1957 they'd done that. I'm sorry, go ahead.
Yeah, no, well, if you look at the some of the stuff that's come out, you know, in the investigation's been done by, you know, normal people who are not in the business of doing these kinds of investigations have produced enormous effect. The pilots who managed to get the NTSB flight simulation data, the black box data, and it is, conflicts on a very basic level with that produced by the 9/11 Commission. So we have these two entities of the United States government disagreeing with each other about where the airplane went. And the evidence that they gave us from the NTSB to the pilots, through the pilots for 9/11 Truth, shows that the airplane that was flying there was too high to hit the building.
That's right.
There are all kinds. In each place you look, there is...
Yeah, the key here is there's many official stories. There's many official fables, and by doing this suit, you're going to get that, or hopefully get that discovery.
Well, that will be the point. We're going to be telling the judge that we have said enough here to say, okay, now we begin the lawsuit. Now we begin the fact-finding process. And that gives us subpoena power. We get to say, okay, let's have these people come in, sit down, and we'll take their depositions and see what they have to say. When Norman Mineta was testifying before the 9/11 Commission...
Stay there. One more segment with us. Our guest is Attorney Bill Veal. A lot of courage to be doing what he's doing.
If you like to gamble, like
Hey, I was just talking to Ted Anderson during the break. Did you know that Peter Schiff's father is Irwin Schiff, who I've interviewed many times? He's one of the few people in U.S. history to be in prison for writing a book. That's what he's in jail for right now. They told him like 3 or 4 years ago, they said, don't publish that anymore. He did, and they put him in jail for a long time. Yeah, there's all sorts of dangerous things happening. Our guest will be with us until about 45 after. Then I'm going to hit some other news, recap it, and take some of your phone calls for those of you that have been holding. I know a New Jersey cop who actually had architects and engineers founder Gage into town has been holding for a while. I apologize to those folks having to hold, but I have had all these guests on. This is a short segment, and we got one more with our guest. I want to finish up with Bill Veal. Yeah, let's go through the key points. I mean, the bullet points. We wrote a story at PrisonPlanet.com titled Career Army Officer Sues Cheney Rumsfeld for 9/11 Complicity. But at the end of the article, we post your suit, and everybody should go read this because it reads as a who's who of the evidence of an inside job. And they're going to have a hard time rejecting this, but if they do, where do you go from there?
Where do you go from there? After you lost, you mean?
I mean, you'd appeal it, right?
Well, yeah, no, I mean, we expect, frankly, to be in the appellate courts. I mean, I'm sorry to have that kind of a negative view, but, you know, I'm just, the history is that these people of power are able to manipulate things in such a way that, you know, they get to run out the string for as long as anybody can imagine in the appellate courts. And so I expect that they will find some argument that they can make that the judge will say, okay, well, I think that's right. And then we will have to appeal that judgment. And that's what we'll do. We'll take it wherever we have to take it. And each time a judge rules against us, it'll be an opportunity for the media in this country to see whether or not there's duplicity going on here, whether people are being honest about themselves. And if the judge rules in a dishonest way, then you know, that's a time for everybody, you know, to watch the unmasking that's going on. I think that our facts are unassailable, and we've got the law. I think that the judge is going to have a very hard time saying, "Oh no, this isn't a lawsuit." I think they're going to have a very hard time doing that. But if they do, we'll pursue them.
Well, one area in your suit that I may have missed, it may be in there, but I didn't see it, is a predisposition or a history. They admit the USS Liberty was staged now. They admit the Gulf of Tonkin was staged. They admit Operation Ajax with Iran was staged. Over 200 declassified admitted examples of the U.S. government staging terror attacks against its own installations or against friends who they then want to sick on their enemies. So with this long history of false flag terror, don't you think that's an important piece of evidence that hey, the people we're charging with this have done this over and over again?
It's extremely important. It's not the kind of thing that we needed to put in the complaint because the history by itself is not going to be enough to get you over. But when the time comes for the trial, boy, the history is going to be really important there, because what we have, one of the large problems that we have in this situation is, you know, there's been this fortress of denial erected by each of us, each human being.
Fortress of denial. I'm going to steal that term.
Well, it's an enormous fortress. It's strong, and you can't really get there. You can't fight against it. In a massive way, you have to kind of chip around. And one of the things that seems to me that's helpful of trying to besiege that fortress is by alerting people to the fact of the false flag operation and its history and our history with it. There are countless examples, not countless, but there are many examples, important examples of beginning wars with the false flag. And the idea that the United States is somehow, you know, is above that or something, or different from other nations and wouldn't use that sort of strategy is just preposterous. And so the people of the United States need to think, okay, well, wait a minute. What is about us? what it is about our history in the last 70 years, just for example, that means that we are incapable of these things. And when you start to ask those questions, then the answer is there is nothing about us that makes us incapable.
And then
of
you have motive, and then you have the people running things. This is one of their favorite tools. I bet you're going to try to bring Northwoods into the trial.
Well, I would think so. I mean, it's right there in black and white. Northwood, you know, but if you ask me, can you imagine, for example, the Soviet Union or Russia?
Hold on, stay there. Final segment. Stay there, Bill. We'll be right back to you. Don't forget, ladies and gentlemen, if you're looking for that last-minute Christmas gift this holiday season, why not give the gift of information warfare at PrisonPlanet.tv. We're live several hours a day now. You're here from our radio/TV studios. All 20-plus of my films, my book, Paul Watson's book, hundreds of local TV programs I've done, now international, all of it at PrisonPlanet.tv. And your support makes what we do here possible. 15 cents a day at PrisonPlanet.tv. Get a monthly membership for $5.95 or get a yearly membership until Christmas and get 5-plus months free. Check it out at PrisonPlanet.tv. And if you want hard copies of any of my films, super high quality DVD, Endgame, Terror Storm, Truth Rising, Fabled Enemies, Loose Change, Final Cut, Loose Change, Second Cut, it's all available. The Money Masters, hundreds of great titles at InfoWars.com. You can go there and order them via the Safe Secure Online Video and Bookstore shopping cart or call toll-free to get hard copies at 888-253-3139. And regardless of what you do, whether it's PrisonPlanet.tv or buying the DVDs directly from us, make copies, get them out to people. That's right. PrisonPlanet.tv, you can burn copies of all the films and books and material to disc and hand them out to people. And folks are very receptive right now. That's how Bill Veith woke up, was somebody giving him a book about 9/11 being an inside job. I was aware of the history. That's why I was warning about the attacks on the World Trade Center, because I knew the feds had bombed it unsuccessfully in 93. That's why I was on air saying, call the White House, tell Bush, don't blow up the World Trade Center 2 months before it happened. Years before it happened, I was saying they're going to stage large terror attacks, but we could see the preparation for what was happening there. Bill, before we finish up with you, and hopefully you and April back on in the near future as this unfolds, fire out your website or a P.O. box for anybody that wants to financially support with the suit against George Bush and Dick Cheney for carrying out or aiding in the crimes of 9/11.
Well, I can be contacted at the Center for 9/11 Justice at gmail.com, and I'd be glad to contact to discuss it or talk to anybody about how they can support us. But if anybody wanted to send some money, I mean, honest to God, this is going to be an enormous enterprise, and it's going to be carried out thanks to, you know, just normal citizens sending $5, $50, whatever they can do. And the address is 2033 North Main Street, Walnut Creek, California, 94596. That's the address, and we'll take anything that anybody can give us, because this is going to be a fight.
Give that address out one more time.
Yeah, 2033 North Main Street, Walnut Creek, California, 94596.
All right. In fact, guys, if I give you that address again, can my TV crew get that up on screen? Give that address out one more time.
Okay. 2033 North Main Street, Walnut Creek, California, 94596.
And address those checks to who?
Well, just to the Center for 9/11 Justice.
Say that again?
Center for 9/11 Justice.
Center for 9/11 Justice, and the website's Center for 9/11 Justice at...
Well, there is no... We're lawyers, and we haven't gotten as far as a website yet.
I understand. Give your email out again.
The email address is centerfor911justice@gmail.com.
All right. Well, people ask me for solutions all day. All I can do is have every courageous, good group on that's fighting tyranny on 100, you know, different subjects a week. And this is one of the most important I can think of. And I want to thank the listeners for previously supporting you guys and for them doing it now. And I hope that they will. We'll put that up on screen. We've only got about 6-7 minutes left with you, sir, and I appreciate your time. recapping and then getting into more key areas of the case. I also interrupted you when you were getting up to the part of people can't believe our government would do this, though it just came out that they killed General Patton, as we already knew, but now it's declassified, because he wanted to get our troops out of a Soviet gulag that they'd taken from the Germans. So, oh, you want to get 12,000 U.S. troops away from the Soviets? Well, U.S. troops will just kill you. So, I mean, people need to come to grips with the military mind, the mind of the elite we have. Please continue.
Well, I just think if you turn it around a little bit and you say, all right, you talk to the normal citizen, do you think that the Soviet Union or Russia now is capable of, for example, bombing apartment buildings and claiming that it's Chechen rebels who are doing it? Do you think that they're capable of that? Most people would say, well, certainly. Those sorts of people do that kind of thing all the time. What about the Japanese in 1931 at the Mukden Bridge? Are they capable of massacring their own troops and then claiming it was the Chinese who did it? Well, oh, we'd say certainly. I think that's quite possible, those kind of people, other people, not the United States. Well, think about it. What really does differentiate us from other countries? Why are we incapable of that kind of look at the history, and it turns out we've been using that technique plenty of times to start various things, or if we didn't do it ourselves, we managed to implement a propaganda exercise, which in essence claimed that somebody else had done.
Yeah, one of their favorites is to hire a proxy group to do it.
Clearly.
And then how to frame patsies is also included in things like Northwoods. What are some of the other areas you're going into in the suit?
Well,
and what is the suit seeking?
Well, the suit will seek damages for pain and suffering and all that sort of thing, but punitive damages. This is going to be an opportunity, if we get to trial, which I hope we will, for the American people literally to say, okay, what is the penalty for something like this? And then they can, the only thing that you can do is put zeros up. But that's basically where we are. Since nobody in the justice system decided that these people needed to be investigated on a criminal basis, it's been left to the civil law. And so we brought the suit and alleged that they have committed these crimes through a conspiracy. We're talking about Cheney, Rumsfeld, and Myers.
Yeah, this is a common law conspiracy to cause death and great bodily harm, and certainly hurt her and her child and a lot of other people, killed some folks as well.
Well, it's all right, but it's also a civil rights action for, denial of civil rights, and it's also a claim that they have retaliated against her for opening her mouth about what she saw and what she knew, and so these are various causes of action under the common law, indeed, and under the Bivens case, which is the famous federal civil rights case. We've said you have denied her federal civil rights, and so therefore you deserve justice. She deserves justice, and you have to pay for her denial of those rights, the denial of her rights. So that's how you put it when the time comes. But we will be, making the arguments in court. And the wonderful thing about this case, if there is anything wonderful about it, is the fact that it's across this enormous panoply of evidence. We have every single kind of evidence that exists.
It's incredible. Well, people always say something this big, they would be caught doing it. They do get caught. It's just they've always controlled the mainstream media, so they keep that information from getting out of the public.
Well, they control the media, and that's extremely important. Obviously, we wouldn't be anywhere near where we are today if it weren't for the complicity, either knowing or unwitting complicity, of the media. I think the most stunning example of that, Jim Dwyer of the New York Times was the person who, on behalf of the New York Times, sued the state of New York and the city of New York to get the firefighters' stories, from that day, and wrote in an email to me when we were having correspondence, saying there's nothing from a personal, there's no human evidence, there's no human testimony that supports the idea of controlled demolition, for example, of the Twin Towers.
And then all over the tapes, it's there.
But, what is the level of denial that can exist that allows a person who actually goes to the extent of filing a lawsuit, gets them the 500 stories of the firefighters and the EMTs, which include 100 and some examples of people talking about the explosions that went off in those buildings. How do you get to say it, that doesn't exist? So, you know, I don't know, frankly. It's a fascinating subject to plumb the depths of the denial that goes on here and to ask people the question whether or not they're actually acting honestly.
Hey, listen, there are people in denial that the Federal Reserve is private. There are people in denial that they've stolen $8.5 trillion, and that's what we know of. The number's growing. People are in denial. Neocons on the radio still say that WMDs were found in Iraq. So there is a religion of denial. Sir, I want to get you back up in the near future as this develops and as this unfolds and to get more into this landmark case. Bill, thank you so much for the time you've spent with us today.
And, sir, thank you for your work. I appreciate it.
You bet. You know, in the new year or as this progresses, one last question. Specifically, I mean, I have the filings here. This is going into court where?
Well, it's in the Southern District of New York, the federal court in the Southern District of New York.
Okay. And how long until we get some answers on this?
Okay. Who knows? It's going to be months anyway.
All right. Well, we'll watch this as it develops. Is April Gallup excited that you took her case and are doing this?
Well, nobody's excited about this, but she's a courageous woman. It's just an inspiration, frankly, to know her.
Well, I mean, excited, I mean, when you almost fly off a cliff in a car, it's exciting. I mean, is she?
You make a good point, sir.
I mean, is she fired up though?
She's a soldier and she wants this done. That's right. I mean, she's. She's excited would be a word that you could use, but she's made the decision. We're going forward here, and let's do it.
I think the right word is she's committed.
Oh, there's no doubt about that.
Well, we appreciate your commitment, Bill. I can't imagine how much work and time and energy and also the courage it takes, Bill Veal, for you to do this, and your colleague, the other lawyer that's involved. But our prayers go out to
you. Dennis Cunningham, yes. Thank you.
Yes,
I appreciate it.
So, vaya con Dios.
Okay, thanks, sir.
Take care. Good to talk to you. On a lighter note, I'm going to come back and take a few final calls in the last segment. But on a lighter note, we have some really serious world news. World faces total financial meltdown, the bank head of the private bank in Spain has to say. And we have the Madoff guy stealing more than $100 billion and saying he did it all alone. This is par for the course in Wall Street. How do we protect ourselves from the bankers in uncertain times? With our little leprechaun, Ted Anderson, and here is his theme song. Absolutely, ladies and gentlemen. And now the Swedish leprechaun. He's an exchange student from the Emerald Isle. The Swedish leprechaun, Ted Anderson, 30 years in the gold and silver business, joins us. Ted, good to have you here popping in with us on the 22nd of December, 2008.
Hey, it's a great day to be here, too, Alex. Of course, you know, the auto manufacturer, I can't even think of it. Toyota.
Do you like your little intro song?
Yeah, I like that. That's cute. I was laughing. That's why I can't think of it. Toyota, of course, posting billion-dollar losses. First time since they've been in business that they've had to post losses on their auto sales. I mean, the market is really turning down.
They want to know where the gold at.
Yeah. Well,
you know, we just had Peter Schiff on talking about how people need gold and silver, and he's not a gold or silver broker. And, you know, talking about total depression, total collapse. I had Gerald Celente on. I mean, I've got bank heads, prime ministers saying this. People have to get out of dollars, and they have to get out of them now. And the reason we've got you here today, Ted, is so people can protect themselves from Wall Street run by a bunch of Madoffs who will and have stolen your pension funds dry. People need to convert a large portion into silver or gold. They need to get a good place to physically hold it. Who do you trust? Trust yourselves, ladies and gentlemen, to physically hold it. And Ted bought gold a week and a half ago when it was 770. It's 850 something today. It's up today. Move now. Buy it at 770 because Ted bought it early. He's almost sold out of that new position. Remember when it was 700 and it was 820 and Ted was selling it from 700 levels? Now it's 770, you know, that he bought it at, and it's 850. Don't wait again while it goes up and up and up. Use this as a buying opportunity. Ted, tell people how they protect themselves from Madoff.
Well, here's the thing. I mean, they should take gold and they should get it in their own physical position, in their own physical possession. I mean, when it comes down to the point where if you're hungry, you don't want a pitcher of a can of beans, you want the beans on the table. And that's the same thing with the gold. When the economy fails, everything falls apart, you don't want to have your gold stored at some brokerage firm in New York City or wherever. You want it in your hands. And that's why I suggest that you
look at the... Does a leprechaun have it in his hand or in a foreign bank?
Yeah, no. They don't have it in foreign banks, I'm sure. But I can tell you right now.
He got the gold in his hand.
Yeah, you better believe they. But if you want to protect yourself from the kind of economy that we're facing right now, you do not want to have your gold stored at some place or buy some shares or some stock, anything like that. You need to have it physically in your position. And so in your possession. And right now, like you said, Alex, 203 for the francs. That's the same price. That's the same price that I was offering them when gold was down there at the price of 770. So the gold prices have gone up. They're up again today. British sovereigns, like I said, on those British sovereigns, I've been getting them out of Belgium. And at first, everything was circulated that I was getting. Now I'm getting brand new coins. They're obviously dipping into their reserves that are new. They want to get rid of their junk first, and now they're getting rid of their good stuff. You know, the British sovereigns...
Not as if gold coins are junk. That's a term in industry for circulated.
Yeah.
I've got up on prisonplanet.tv, minusresources.com, with the number 800-686-2237. Now, Ted, at that 770 price, you've got what? The British sovereigns, the francs, the European francs. Are those uncirculated as well?
Yeah, well, the European francs are coming in. A lot of them are uncirculated, but the British sovereigns.
Okay, so super deal there. What else do you have at the 770 level?
Well, that British sovereign at 252. I also have silver right now. Silver Walking Liberty halves at 840. Now, mind you, silver is at $11 an ounce, and it was at $9. That's a $2 increase, and I still have the...
And plus, there's a huge premium on all gold and silver out there. Instead of paying a premium to get it because everybody's buying it up, you're paying below what the market is because Ted buys when it's low and then is selling it right now while it's high and passing all those savings on to you. 800-686-2237. 800-686-2237. Ted, how long can you hold this deal?
Well, for sure till midnight, and I'm watching the market too, and I got to see how many people are going to be ordering, but I do order supply when the prices dip. You know, just it doesn't take a rocket scientist to watch what's going on in this economy.
But
and
you are running out of the 770 position?
You bet. That's starting to sell out. We sold an awful lot of it last week.
Hold on, Ted. You know, there was a lot of stuff I meant to get to in the show. We ran out of time today. One of them was I knew in California they threw out most of the red light cameras because there wasn't a police officer riding the ticket, which is a citation that he has to swear to. Instead, it was Lockheed Martin in the case of San Diego, so it was thrown out. And in Texas and most other states, you have to be registered as a private detective if you're gathering data for the state, and there's a bunch of special licenses for that. In Texas, from Dallas to Austin, they've raised hundreds of millions of dollars with these illegal red light cameras, and when the Texas Supreme Court and others said, you can't do this anymore, this is illegal, Austin, of all the cities, said, we don't care if it breaks the law. We're keeping them all there. I mean, it's just the government is out of control. And I want to take one final call who's been holding the longest here in just a moment, John in New Jersey. But before we do that, Ted Anderson, when everything's going to hell in a handbasket and you can't trust the system, you need gold, you need silver, you need firearms, you need guts, you need God. and you need water filters. You need to be self-sufficient. That's a great deal on gold and silver. People aren't going to find a better deal. I can't explain to them that you buy gold, you know, at the 770 level. It's 850 plus right now. They'd be crazy to not take advantage of this deal. Don't they understand there's huge premiums everywhere else? Most places can't even get gold and silver, but you can.
Well, that's the thing. I mean, the premiums are going up like crazy, and that's why I try to buy at the lower prices. When the gold and silver shoots up, it gives the customers, the listeners a break, a chance to buy it at a better price. If I go back in the marketplace and just try to repurchase what I'm offering for you today, that, you know, it's going to be $20, $30 higher a coin. I mean, that's how much it's gone up, and it'll happen like that anyways, because I mean, with Toyota melting down and all of Detroit being shut down.
Bottom line, don't trust in the government. They want you dependent. Do the opposite. Become independent. People say, well, why gold or silver? Because that's one of the few real currencies. Gold and silver have been used for more than 6,000 years. It is the basis of society. It will always have intrinsic value, and it's portable. It's portable. That, you know, they can put a property tax on your land and take it away from you. They can kick you out of your house. They can even confiscate gold, but it's hard to find. And so, bottom line, 800-686-2237. Ted, thanks for coming on with us.
Yeah, thanks for having me up, Alex.
You bet. And the brokers will hold this deal through tonight, correct?
Right through tonight, right up into midnight.
Okay. And they were there the other day. You said at 2 a.m. taking calls, right?
2 a.m. They're still doing it at 2, yeah.
So if you're listening at 2 a.m., go ahead and try. 800-686-2237, 800-686-2237. And I told you on other deals, folks, this will go away. That's not some tactic I'm telling you. It's the truth. 800-686-2237. Okay, last 2 minutes of the show. Nice guy, John, up in New Jersey, a New Jersey detective, a 9/11 first responder. I know he's had Richard Gage in to speak to his group and others. We appreciate him. He's been holding for about an hour, so I'm going to let him have a little bit of time here at the end. John, go ahead. Sorry to keep you holding.
Absolutely, Alex. I really appreciate it.
We're almost out of time. Go ahead.
Yeah, what I'm asking of yourself and your audience, what I want to do is pretty much refuse to go to work anymore. I want to. That 9/11 was an inside job. I've solicited my superiors, my supervisors, I should say, and they refused to even address it. Now, the blind sheik that was in Journal Square up in Jersey City, the storage that's back in '93, Mallory Avenue, that's where they stored most of the explosives. We have premise here. We have legal premise to further investigate this, and they simply won't address it. And you know, I'm a 15-year guy. I have all the bells and whistles. I got all the awards. I'm irreproachable.
Well, hold on. Let me do this. Let me have you on the show as a proper guest tomorrow, because we don't screen calls, so I didn't know what you were calling in about. I just recognized your name. And let me set you up for the show tomorrow. Can we do that right now?
Absolutely.
Okay. I've got your full name, but give your number to John right now when the show ends, and then I'm going to call you up right now, okay?
All right, Alex.
Okay, go ahead and get that, John. Thank you. still got a cold here. Trying to cough. Rebroadcast starts now, one place, Infowars.com, here in the InfoWar. And we had Peter Schiff on, a bunch of other people today. It all starts on the streams, Infowars.com.